Blog Talk Radio.
Leaving in the ring.
Radio.
Go ahead, who's this?
Yo, it's David Chang.
Is it me, man? Is Marquez just a goddamn beast?
Every time Marquez moves up in weight, moves to a different division, he's fighting the toughest competition he can find there. You know, he's not just finding a name that's stylistically good for him. He's fighting the hardest fight he could fight and then winning.
See, if anything's killing boxing, it's boxing. Not UFC.
You know, I won't bash MMA and I won't say, you know, it's killing boxing or boxing is better. You know, everybody has their own opinion.
Leave it in the ring.
Radio.
Shane Mosley versus Margarito sold out the Staples Center, and that was the largest attendance for any event. Everything, every concert, anything. That was the most. And that was just recently. So that's really where boxing is headed, along with the Ricky Hatton, Manny Pacquiao. Selling out.
Leave it in the ring.
Radio.
Okay, but everybody right now, if you're calling in, I got a couple more calls calling in. I'm not going to pass you through at the moment, but there is a chat room. If you look on, there's a chat room. You can start chopping it up or ask your questions, and I will pass you in through as soon as we can. Yo, what's up? What's up, everybody? I hope everybody's doing good on a Friday night. It's your boy 97 Ruff. I know I got my boy from Sacramento, Chris 916. What's going on, brother? How you doing?
I'm all right, man. My power just went out, so I'm just chilling here, hoping my battery on my phone don't die anytime soon.
Your power went out? What's up with that, bro? You got to pay your bills.
No, man. Someone took something out down the block somewhere. That's all I know.
Really?
Apparently so, man. We're all in the dark.
Oh, my God.
Not when it comes to this boxing game, man. We ain't in the dark there.
That's right. That's where it matters. I know we got out of Puerto Rico, Rob Riddler. What's cracking, brother?
Yo, what's up, everybody? Shit.
Apparently,
I know you've been sick.
Barely.
I know you've been sick for a minute. What was that, Chris?
Said apparently he's up barely.
I know, barely. Well, he's been. I know he's been sick, and then he had sparring the other day, and he wasn't too happy about it. Ain't that right, Rob?
Yeah, that was very, very frustrating.
Well, what was frustrating about it? I mean, were you getting just peppered up a little bit too much? I mean, did you get dropped? I mean, what happened?
No, I just wasn't doing what I started off really good, and I heard him with a jab and shit like that, but then I just lost focus, and I started brawling and shit like that. It became like a brawl, and I started losing that brawl real quick when I found out he was a little bit stronger than I was.
Is that right? Well, when did you realize that you were getting whooped on?
Well, when I figured that I really couldn't, he closed distance, and my punches weren't really affecting him as they were when he was further away from me on the outside, and I couldn't really get off, and you know, he knew how to work inside the clinch and stuff like that, and you know, and then I started seeing Daniel Santos out of the corner of my eye, and then I started getting a little bit more pressure on me. I started feeling more pressure. And
that's when you started freezing up, right? Is that when you started freezing up and you saw Daniel Santos?
Yeah, when I started seeing Daniel Santos, I really tried. Like, I just lost all sense of the generalship in the ring and everything.
Now, was Daniel Santos, like, was he by himself? I mean, did he have people with him, or what?
Yeah, he had his trainer there. He was doing some mitt work, and we were all just waiting to get in the ring to spar and stuff like that. And he was actually doing mitt work, and he was just started watching the sparring session and stuff, and he started looking at me because I was getting my ass tapped up. So, you know, he just started looking at me, and I kept seeing him out of the corner of my eye, and I was like, shit, I can't be getting my ass kicked in front of Danielle.
Imagine this. Was he leaning over and whispering? Because, you know, if he was leaning over and whispering to his trainer, you know he was talking shit about you, dog.
No, he was just like, looking, and his trainers were, everybody was looking in the gym and stuff like that, and that's it. And then I just went down after the round was over. I'm sorry, I went down. And everybody said I had a good round of sparring. I just thought I did horrible, so I went home.
Oh, man, that sucks, bro. Well, you know what? Everybody has a bad sparring day. Don't let it get too many to you that much. I know I got my co-host, Blood. What's up, Blood? How you doing, brother?
What's good, people? Hey, Riddler, don't worry about that, man. You in that ring, dog. So, you know, you're doing something that a lot of people don't got the guts to do, man. So just keep your head high, man, and come back for another day, brother.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Dude.
Yeah.
We see, I know we got David Chen. David Chen, you on the line, brother? Or is it Strikeheart? Who we got? Strikeheart, David Chen?
Strikeheart is here.
Uh-oh.
Strikeheart. Strikeheart's
Strikeheart
in the house.
Strikeheart
in the house. Uh-oh, wait a minute. I think you guys are gonna trip on this one. Let me catch him in real quick. We got pretty boy Floyd Mayweather on the line. Floyd, you there?
I don't want to waste your time right now because my match was stolen from RA and they're in the jar now, so it's going to be really difficult. Hopefully you guys can hear me because I want my nuts back and I heard he's going to be back on the radio show, so hopefully he can take them out of the jar and give me back my nuts.
Well, hopefully so. We're going to talk to RA Rugged Man about that, Floyd, so hopefully he'll give you back your nuts and stuff and then, you know, and everything. You guys can patch it up a little bit.
I'm hoping because it's really difficult to pick up on girls in a nightclub, you know, giving them champagne when you're not baby nuts like this, and I sound like, be real.
I heard you, dog. I heard about, man, I don't know, blood, what do you think? That's terrible, man, when somebody literally snatching nuts out between your legs.
Floyd, I got a question for you, Floyd. Why you keep dodging and ducking? Why are you dodging and ducking?
Well, I'll tell you right now, Blood, I mean, I don't want you to make a video about me or anything like that and you know, bash me or anything like that, but the reason why I avoid fighters is because I'm the greatest of all time, and there's no reason for me to prove it to anybody else. And my nut huggers, they don't know exactly what I'm talking about. Tony Pollard, I got to call them jaw huggers because I have no more nuts. They're just hugging on the jaws.
Oh, hey, tell Uncle Roger to go get them back for you, brother.
I will, man. Thank you. I got to get back to my running.
Well, there you go, man. Floyd Mayweather called in real quick.
He got to get back to his running, though. Because he's doing a lot of it.
Hopefully, RA Rugged Man gives him back his nuts. You know, that's not even cool. Never take a man's balls away and put them in a jar. You know what I mean? That's like being married.
Real tall.
You know, man.
He castrated that man. Why he had to castrate that man like that? We need our jewels, homie. We need our damn well jewels.
You know what I mean, man? I mean, it's really bad enough you snatched the man's soul in the interview, but then you take his nuts away. I don't know. We'll find out about R.A. Rugged Man when he calls in about 30 more minutes. And after R.A. Rugged Man calls in, we got Andre Berto to drop through and talk a little bit about Sugar Shane Mosley, what's the feud about between these guys, and how Berto's dissing homeboy on his Twitter. That's going to be interesting. That's something I want to know about, you know, because that's not really kind of Berto's style. You know what I'm saying? He's switching it up on us, Blood. He's switching it up on us.
Berto has to step up and talk, man, because it's time for him to land this kind of fight. He's been fighting the D-level and C-levels for a little bit too long now, and it's time for us to find out if Andre Berto is on that A-level. And against Mosley, that's how we can find out. So I'm hoping the fight go through. Maybe if you keep calling him out, Mosley will step to him.
Make a little quick announcement. Next week, Thursday, we're going to have Winky Wright, who's going to be facing, I think it was 2 years ago or 3 years ago, contender winner, Grady Brewer. They'll both be on, you know, chop it up about their upcoming fight. Between it, I honestly don't understand it. Strikeheart, I mean, going for Paul Williams and then going for Brewer, it's a little bit different, you know, different matchup. I don't know if the fight fans are going to be really intrigued about something like that. What do you think?
Who's he going up against?
The bad boy Grady Brewer from the Contender. You remember the Contender series? Where Alfonso Gomez came from, Sergio Mora.
Right. Oh, you just want my comment on him.
I want your comment. I want to know.
You know, the Contender show to me is an okay thing. I mean, I know you don't specifically want my comment on the show, but the show itself is a little disappointing in the fact that they edit a lot of the boxing out of it. And Grady Brewer is a guy that I probably haven't seen much of outside of the show. So I'll be excited when I get to sit down and watch an unedited, you know, Grady Brewer fight with somebody worth mentioning. But, yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to talk to him and see what he's got to say to us.
Hell, yeah. I mean,
just a safe fight, I think, for Winky Wright, man. You know, this is the kind of fight he needs to get himself back in there. Winky Wright's getting up there, though, man. So he needs to make some power moves. How old is he now, about 37?
I don't know. Good question, man. I know he's over 35. He's got to be over 35. So, you know, he's up there, and I understand what he's trying to do. He's got to try to rake up in the money because he was in the same position Paul Williams was at one time. Nobody wanted to fight him. So I think what he's trying to do now is just gather up enough cheese to keep himself going because he's obviously not in the position of other fighters, you know, even though he's got a promotional company. Chris, I mean, I don't know. What do you think, Chris? Good fight, bad fight for him, or a fight that nobody's going to care about?
Oh, man, hard to say. It depends on where the fight's being held. I'm not sure where it's being held exactly. I mean, if Winky's promoting it, I'm sure he's holding it somewhere where he thinks he can sell some tickets. I don't know. I'm kind of interested in it in a way. I mean, I feel bad for Grady Brewer. Of all the guys that went on the contender, he probably came out the shortest because he had some injuries afterwards. Him and Saki Obika, those guys just have not been able to gain any momentum since winning those shows. But, I mean, Winky, what's he going to do? You know, who else is he going to fight? He had that fight against Williams. Paul, you know, pretty much shut him down and shut him out. Winky's not really a name that the fans or the networks are clamoring to get on there, so he's kind of just got to get any kind of opponent that has any kind of name recognition, no matter where it comes from, to, you know, get some butts in seats.
Well, if the fight is here in the Gunshine State, it's going to sell because Winky Wright is big over here still. You know what I'm saying? So hopefully it's in the Gunshine State, and I can go over there and check it out.
You're right, man. You know, after Andre Burdick stops by and chops it up with us just for a little bit, you got the 168 contender, Alan Green. Somebody that's been very vocal about him not being invited into the tournament, a six-man tournament that we have been anticipating that we're all psyched up about that just happened a few weeks back with Arthur Abraham dismantling Jermaine Taylor. And then Carl Fouch and Andre Durrell mixing it up turned out to be very controversial among the Americans. I don't know if with the Fouch people, but I'm pretty sure even some of the Fouch fans were in belief that he lost that fight. But how come Alan Green was not even considered, you know? So we got a packed show, real packed show, man. It should be a real good show for everybody that's listening, you know, our hardcore followers that listen to Leave It in the Ring, the Soldiers, Sporty Thieves. Yo, I haven't heard those guys in a long time. Sporty Thieves, got them in the chat room. I remember that album, The Hitman. Anyways, man, so like I said, we got a packed house. We got a weekend fight between Glenn Johnson versus Chad Dawson. And hey, Blunt, I got the press conference call that, you know, I had to edit down and pick up the best parts. And I want to, you know, play that a little bit. And in the beginning, we got Rob Riller asking his question. So what do you guys think about that? Should I play that now or should I wait for R.A. Rugged Man to hear some of his thoughts about this upcoming fight with Glenn Johnson?
Wait for the Rugged Man to come through. Let's hear what you got to say about it.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You know, we didn't have a chance yesterday. We had Alex Ariza from the Manny Pacquiao camp come down and chop it up about his five-finger discount on Michael the Con Man. That's what they call him. And then we had Paul the Punisher Williams with his manager, Mr. Peterson, come through and talk a little bit about everything that's happening among them. So what I'm thinking is maybe we should cover the MMA news because we didn't give the guys they have a little bit of time of covering the MMA stuff. So go ahead, Chris and Rob Riller. What's the MMA news and what's happening for the weekend?
Raj's rape is on its way. Oh, shit. No, I'm just
by that, he means Brent Rogers is going to get, well, at least he believes Brent Rogers is going to get stomped by the number one heavyweight out there, Fedor Emelianenko, going down Saturday night on CBS. So no excuses for nobody not to watch it unless you just hate MMA, strike hearts. But, man, that's the big event going down this weekend. I mean, mixed martial arts on broadcast or network television, you know, I mean, I said it before, I mean, it's a big deal because, unfortunately, you know, I am a boxing head, too. Unfortunately, boxing's not getting that opportunity. So, you know, mixed martial arts is, but that's the main event. Also, there's like a middleweight title going on there. Jake Shields going up against Jason Mayhem Miller of Bully Beatdown fame. I don't know who Rob's feeling in that fight, though.
I like Miller, but, I mean, I don't really look at him as a really talented. Like, he seems like one of those guys who just wastes his talent and stuff. He just does crazy random shit. You don't know if he's going to do a backflip or he's actually going to try to establish a strategic game plan. So I'm just going to go with Mayhem Miller just because I like him a lot more as a person, as a fighter.
No, I hear you. I like him a lot more, too. Both those guys are pretty much the same dude, but you're right. Mayhem's a crazy wild cat. But aside from that, man, the only other news really going on is a UFC heavyweight champ Brock Lesnar somehow, even though I thought it was a disease you only get when you're a teenager, got mono. So he's out of the mix for a while, missing a couple events that were supposed to be scheduled for. So I don't know when he's going to be back, but I don't know. I never had mono. Maybe Rob or one of y'all have, but I don't know how long that thing affects you for.
I don't even know what the fuck that is.
Mono? I haven't had it myself, but that stays with you for like a month.
Yeah, well,
that ain't.
That's not came out of training for a while, but yeah, I mean, like I said, man, if y'all are chilling on Saturday night, and well, you guys are all going to be watching Dawson Johnson. What am I talking about? But if so, fight then early, make sure you check out Fedor and Brett Rogers on CBS and look for Fedor to put the stamp down on his status. But, yo, Dave, real quick, man, if we got time, I mean, I know we don't really have a lot of time, but I just want to hear everyone's thoughts on Beco Perez last weekend. I thought it was a sick fight.
Yeah, I want to roll into that right now. I want to roll into it right now because that was – I mean, that was a hell of a fight. I was on
that
my
was
feet the whole time through.
A good fight. Oh, my gosh, man. I don't know about you guys, but I definitely want to see a rematch in that fight.
Definitely.
The way that they went at it, my biggest question going into it was, does Yanni Perez have a chin? Because I know Beco can punch. And
woo, does he
boy,
have a
does
chin?
Boy, does that guy have a chin. Boy, does he have a chin. Oh, my goodness. Especially in that 10th round right before that headbutt. He was getting hit so clean by Beco, and I could see him getting stumbled and sidestepping a little bit, and then that headbutt happened. But I was just more surprised at what he was able to take as far as Beco's shots than anything else in that fight. And as far as the scorecards go, I thought every round was close. But I mean, a lot of times, you know, you get a score like that that's lopsided. It doesn't mean the fight wasn't close. Just means that the judges thought Yanni Perez won the close rounds in the fight. And that 3-point swing for the headbutt obviously doesn't help Beco either because he was definitely winning that round. So
it was a fight, man, to watch over and over and over again. DeMarco, he did a good job stepping in with his opponent. You know, and now I can't remember his name. I've got it in front of me. I'll look it up real quick. But DeMarco went in there with a tough veteran and was having some problems in the beginning, had to back himself up and really regain himself before taking the win over. But, you know, going with Beco and Yanni Perez, and you're right, Strikeheart, his jaw just held up to everything that was thrown at him, and he was really fighting the fight that a lot of people weren't expecting him to fight. You know, he was in the inside, and he was doing a lot better and landing a lot shorter, cleaner punches than Beco. King Kong, though, man, just kept coming and coming and coming. The only problem with King Kong, though, was really – he was not on in his game plan like way he did with Victor Chilian. He threw everything that he's had, you know, has been using to get to the point where he's at. He just kind of threw it out the door. And in the press conference, I asked him, do you think you may be concentrating a little bit too much in wanting to KO Yanni Perez because of the fact you're trying to make a statement? He said, no. Yanni Perez responded by saying, he may be underestimating me. He may be underestimating me.
He definitely did. And you could see it at the beginning of the first couple rounds. You could see it in Beco's facial expressions. He was like, oh, shit, this guy can punch hard. I'm in a little bit of trouble here. I don't think he really expected Yanni Perez to be what he was, and none of us really knew. That was the intriguing thing about the fight. You couldn't really find out a whole lot about Yanni Perez.
Who told King Kong to throw left hook? That's what I want to know.
I mean, that was the punch that he said he was going to work on, and I actually think that he did improve it a little bit, but it still misses a lot.
I don't know. Does it seem like he switches southpaw when he throws a left, or does he just lean in it like he's going to throw a right hand? I don't know what it is, but he seems like he squares up after he throws his left hook. And then, like, when he would try to come back, that's when he would get caught with combos. And I was looking at that. I was like, I don't know if that's his game plan to confuse him or if that's just a mistake that he keeps doing.
No, yeah, that's just the way that he fights. He throws that left hook like that in just about every fight you'll see. And it has always been a little bit, you know, not technically sound the way you'd like it to be. I thought he worked on it a little bit, not as much as he would want to, obviously. But it did connect a few times. It seemed like it had bothered Perez a little bit. But, yeah, it's not his best punch. It's that right hand that seems to do most of the work for him. But I mean, I would like to get Blood, especially Blood, your comments on the ring entrance of Egbeko. Because that was probably one of the craziest things I've seen.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Blood. What happened, man? What's up? You didn't pay your bill either.
King Kong just took out Blood. King Kong just took out Blood.
Hope for making fun of that left hook, Rob really just showed you what's up. Bam!
let me tell you my impression. When I saw him coming out in that outfit, you know, dressed up as King Kong, obviously, in chains, being carried in by a white woman in a bikini, I just thought to myself, no African-American fighter would ever walk in the ring chained to a white woman like that, dressed up in a gorilla costume.
Racial tension.
Hey, my phone just hung up, man. I don't know what happened. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Blood. Take over, because this is something that you should be talking about. But I have a feeling I know where you're going to go with it.
Oh, man, you know what? I'm going to be honest, man. I missed the ring entrance, and I only saw that fight from the fourth round on up, man. Because I was
well,
late.
Let me tell you what he did, because Showtime actually had to apologize for the ring entrance and distanced themselves from the entrance. He came out dressed like King Kong in a gorilla costume, in chains, attached to a white woman in a bikini. And she drug him into the ring and carried him through the ropes and then paraded him around the ring before the fight.
Oh, man, that sounds like, I don't know, bro. I have to see it, man. It don't sound good.
No, I remember about a month ago we had talked about what's the difference between an African and an African-American. I think that this might be one of those cases where Egbeko doesn't realize that African-Americans might not really appreciate seeing that.
Nah, we don't really like that, you know what I'm saying, especially – you know, there's plenty of reasons why I don't want to get into that, but, you know,
right.
That's not on the team right there.
Then he had a white girl pulling him with a big old thick old chain, man. Yo, listen, I got R.A. Rugged Man on the line. R.A., you there, brother?
I'm right here, brothers. How you doing?
Doing good, man. You know, first off, you know, I got to let you know Floyd called in a little minute ago, and he had a real high-pitched voice. He was wondering when you're going to let his balls out of that jar you took it in.
Oh, man.
Hey, man, you guys are
starting the conversation off with trouble already. Look at you.
Hey, man, actually, we're not even starting the conversation with trouble, because trouble was when you guys patched him in and dude thought he was coming on to talk about hip-hop and you came on talking about boxing.
No, he knew we were going to talk about boxing because what had happened is before the interview that got out was on, you know, before, you know, how it starts off with the interview, we were actually talking about boxing for 15 minutes before that on the air live. That's why he called in, because I was explaining that I wish he fought better opposition. So he was hearing it live on the radio, or one of his boys told him, or whatever happened, and he decided to call up on his own to talk to us. So he knew that he was going to, or thought, he might have thought we were going to kiss his ass, but I think he was there to talk boxing. I think that's why he did call, but I think he thought I was going to be just like a regular rap guy or something, you know. I didn't think he knew that I knew a little something, you know.
I don't think he did, you know. I think he came in thinking that he was going to take complete control, and the way you worded it was perfect. You told him straight up, I'm not Brian Kennedy. You're not going to talk to me. You know, and you know what, before that...
Because, you know, every time he talks to Brian Kenny, that's what he says. He goes, oh, you know, you don't do what I do, so, you know, who are you to say? You don't know nothing. You're just a boxing writer. That's what he says to him. And, you know, it's kind of like, it's kind of silly, you know, so...
Well, you know, it's funny because I don't get what he's saying right there. I mean, so since if you don't get in the ring, then that what? That makes it, I mean, you shouldn't have an opinion?
Yeah. I said that in the interview the other day. I said what? Just because, you know, you wasn't the president of the United States, you weren't allowed to say that Bush did a bad job, you know? You know, like,
exactly.
Like I said, if you're not a filmmaker, you're not allowed to say that Mariah Carey Glitter is a whack movie. You know what I mean? Like you know, the public, you're fighting for the public. We're supposed to be able to say, look, we don't like what you're doing, or we like what you're doing. That's part of fighting for us. We're the ones paying, you know, millions of dollars for these pay-per-view cards. You know,
damn real.
You know what, man? Before we keep going with the whole Money Mayweather, there's a bunch of stuff happening in boxing right now. I'd like to find out what your thoughts about. Okay, you know, I don't know if you heard about the WBC suspending Chris Nyman Oriola for cussing. Yeah,
for Chris Oriola for cursing, which I have no idea or understand why they're even doing that or what that's even about. I can't even begin to understand what that's about. I mean, why didn't they suspend Mike Tyson 20 years ago when he was saying, you know, Razor Ruddock hit like a fucking mule kick? And you know what I mean? Like, I have no idea what that shit's about. And what, now the fighters aren't allowed to be themselves in the ring? That's how they talk in the gym. That's how some fighters talk. You know, not everybody has that Oscar De La Hoya switch where they shut it off and act like a robot. They, you know, not everyone has that skill. Some people, their adrenaline's going. They just got in a big fight. Chris got in the first loss of his career and got pummeled and stopped by a guy. And, you know, his heart was bleeding, man. And, he, you know, the guy was crying like a kid, you know what I mean? Like, he was heartbroken. And he wanted to speak his mind, and he can't say a word, a fuck, or a shit here and there. I'm allowed to curse on your show, right? Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what? Right now, we just got a letter right now from WBC saying they're gonna suspend us for cursing.
You know what? I never realize. I never know if I'm on satellite or internet. Satellite and internet, I know I'm allowed to curse at. Sometimes, if it's regular radio, they'd be like, "All right, chill." Oh, okay, sorry. You know that kind of thing.
Nah, man.
Nah, you don't have a chill over here, bro. Go ahead and be yourself.
Well, what, do you guys have any insight why they're trying to suspend Oriola? I have no idea. Like, what's the real reasoning or the politics behind it? Why is this taking place? Do you have any insight on it?
Well, check this out. We just had Henry Ramirez, which is the head trainer of Chris, call in yesterday and try to explain something that really made no sense. They didn't even know about it until the morning time. Chris and Nyman Oriola called his trainer to tell him, "I just got suspended." Not even their old promoter knew why they was getting suspension. It's a 6-month suspension, and nobody in the camp knows exactly what it was for, why there was no warning. It just happened. They woke up, I guess, you know, Jose Suleiman and the WBC woke up thinking, you know, we're going to have some morals all of a sudden. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. I guess it's kind of the same thing where they're telling Mosley, too, to apologize, you know, because
they make the Berto fight, they want Mosley to apologize for taking a fight with Margarito. It's like, it's so corrupt and disgusting. And, you know, and it's like, right now, boxing doesn't need this shit because, you know, we are having a competition with the MMAs. The mixed martial arts, there's a lot of kids that moved away from boxing and is looking at that mixed martial arts shit. So if a cat like Mosley's making a competitive fight with Berto, why are you going to interfere? Boxing right now needs all the most competitive fights to keep the public interested. The last thing we want is bullshit fights being made and you shouldn't afford Margarito. They're telling Mosley he shouldn't afford the toughest guy he could have possibly fought. They're going to, you know, punish him for that. You know, they should be parading around him for fighting Margarito, not punishing him. It's like, dudes, man, boxing, why are you fucking it up even worse? Let's, you know, let it all go. Let's grow, not make shit smaller, you know?
Absolutely, man. You know, and that's what cracks me up the most, because we call Sugar Shane Mosley the janitor of the Golden Boy, because he seems to clean everything out for Oscar. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, Oscar don't fight him. He's like, well, you know what? Why don't you put Mosley in there? Let's see what happens with Mosley first before I decide to fight the dude. You know? We were trying to get Mosley.
Oscar also likes to, if you whoop my ass, I'll give you a job. You know what I'm saying? I'm surprised Pac doesn't have, like, Golden Boy Philippines or some shit, you know?
You never know. It ain't over yet, you know what I'm saying? And there's still some time. There's some room there for Oscar to kind of maneuver his way in. But he's got Freddie Roach and stuff. And then he's got Alex Ariza who gives people the five-finger discount.
Yeah, true.
You know, so, never know what happens and stuff, man. But hey, I want to play a real short clip because I know there's some listeners that probably have not even had the chance to listen to the interview that you had with Floyd Mayweather, you know. So I'm going to post it up real quick, and then you tell me your thoughts about this little section here, okay? When you were pretty much putting them on blast, you were putting them in, you know, I say you were putting them in your place. You got some fans that are saying that you know, you were being disrespectful. But you tell me what you think after you listen to this little clip that you did with them.
Floyd,
there you go.
Floyd.
Please let me know.
Floyd.
Let me know. What are you talking
about? Listen, Floyd. So you're saying Pacquiao's taking it
all you need to do is learn the sport of boxing.
Learn the sport of boxing. I know the history.
Do what I do.
Why?
Do what
I'm
I
not
do.
Brian Kenny. You can't talk to me like a little bitch, like I'm Brian Kenny. Like, Brian, you listen to me because I'm the fighter and you ain't shit. Because, motherfucker, I know the history. I know the history of the sport.
Guess what? If I say you're a bitch, I'm going to talk to you like a bitch.
I don't give a fuck. See, the thing is, Floyd, I'm not going to talk to you back like that because that looks like, because we're not face to face. And me talking shit to Floyd Mayweather over a microphone is some pussy shit. So I'm going to go, yeah, Floyd, you're a bitch. I'm not going to say that shit. You know, I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid of anybody. What you going to do? Punch me in the fucking head? I'm not afraid of you, Floyd.
Man, listen, man, you know I'm only about to ask for money. If it ain't for the money, I'm money.
Yeah. Brother, there's no reason, there's no reason to be offended and say you're a bitch. Why does it have to be a hustle? Why don't you want to be considered the greatest that ever lived? Why don't you want to be?
I am.
That's bullshit. It's bullshit.
No.
How can you say that?
You have to be crazy. Let me ask you this, man, because you know what? I thought it was funny when you were saying, I'm not going to call Floyd Mayweather a bitch because that's some pussy shit. But you were calling him a bitch still. You know what I'm saying? I thought that was genius and how you mixed that in.
No, because he called me an actual bitch. What I did, I didn't come disrespectful to Floyd. In the beginning, I was telling him, look, you're not fighting the right guys. And then I was saying, look, you're scared of Shane Mosley. You know, you're scared of Margarito. Just fight the guys. And I even said, every time I tried to compliment the guy and say, brother, you're great at what you do, but to be the greatest, you got to prove yourself. And anytime I tried to say, he'd be like, oh, you're on my dick now. You're on my dick. You're on my dick. Okay. So he was coming with all that disrespectful shit. And oh, you're a bitch. I never said, what I was saying is, what was I supposed to do? Oh, Floyd, you're a bitch. Yeah, come on, man. Like, I'm not going to say that to Floyd Mayweather. That's silly. So me saying everything everything I said to him was factual in my head. Like I'm saying, you're scared to fight Shane, you're scared of this. There was not one second where I was confrontational, like, look, I'm going to find you, or yo, listen, you know what I mean? So as far as disrespectful, I think I was asking Floyd the questions that a lot of fans wanted to ask him. That's all it was. And I also think I was talking to him how he talks to his boys, how his boys talk to him, how me and you would talk if we wasn't doing an interview. That's how people talk to each other in the streets. We just talk to each other, you know, and if you're getting a disagreement about a fight, you go, motherfucker, Paul Williams would whoop Shane Mosley. Oh, motherfucker, Shane Mosley would whoop, you know, Pat Mayer off. You know, that's how people talk about boxing. They get heated, and people who have a lot of love for the sport, so it gets heated, and you talk like that. Oh, motherfucker, Jay-Z's better than Nas. Nah, fuck you. Jay-Z will smack up Nas. Fuck. That's how you talk, you know. So, I'm a rapper. I'm not an interviewer. I'm not a professional reporter. So, I'm not concerned about losing my job or any bullshit. I'm just talking to the dude. And what happened is, I started getting heated when he started, like I started getting a little bit more aggressive with it when he started disrespecting, like he'd be like, oh, Sugar Ray Leonard sucked because he lost to this guy, or Hopkins has so many fucking losses, or boxing's dead if I leave.
How you gonna mention Sugar Ray Leonard lost to Hector Camacho? He should have talked about the Ray Leonard that lost to his dad. I mean, that beat his dad. That's what we're talking about. But you want to bring up Camacho, though.
Exactly. But the thing is, too, how is it the most offensive thing you said is, if I leave the sport, it's dead. Like, come on, don't you want to root for the sport of boxing? Are you that self-centered that you only want boxing to exist with you? Like, you don't want to leave it and then have this beautiful sport continue? Like, that's the kind of shit that I was getting offended by. And how's he going to talk shit about the guys like Hopkins and Sugar Ray Leonard's and even a Shane Mosley, who, yeah, he's got some losses, but the guy's, what, 38 years old and fought, you know, Winky Wright's, Antonio Margaritas, you know, Vernon Forrest's, Oscar De La Hoya's, moving up from 135 to 147 to fight De La Hoya in his prime, you know what I mean? Like De La Hoya in his prime isn't the De La Hoya that fought Floyd Mayweather. That's a different De La Hoya, you know. Right. So these, you know.
What about him saying he's greater than Sugar Ray Robinson? That to me is disrespectful, right there.
That is disrespectful.
Who fought over 200 times.
Yeah. And I believe, I don't have, like, the exact numbers in front of me, but at one point in Sugar Ray's career, I think he was, like, 105 with one loss. And the one loss was him moving up from fight Jake LaMotta, the middleweight, who was a fucking monster, you know? So that was his one loss out of like 100 and something fights at one point in his career. You know, don't quote me exactly on the numbers, but it's pretty goddamn close to that, you know? And then he went back and whooped Jake LaMotta's ass how many times? And Jake LaMotta was a certified, real hard as nails, tough as nails middleweight that would beat the shit out of you, you know? And that was his one loss. And it wasn't no stoppage. It was a decision loss. He fought a guy way bigger than him and you know, lost a decision once in 100-something fights. So it's funny, you know.
Hey, man, well, let me ask you this. Does it make you laugh right now? Have you been to any of the boxing forums or, like, on YouTube where there's some people that are just saying, they're like, oh, you know, R.A. Ruggie, man, he's not even a real fight fan, you know, he don't even know what he's talking. And I'm listening to what you're saying right now, and I can tell already, you know what I mean? You can always recognize the other man's fruits when you're the same. You're a hardcore fight fan.
Yeah, my entire life, it's one of my biggest loves in life is boxing, you know. It's one of my favorite, you know, there's a couple things I like in life. It's my hip-hop and my fights, you know. And I'm a film fan, too. You know, I like my little stupid horror movies and B-movies. But, you know, them three things. And maybe some pussy, you know. So, but besides that, geography, science.
Where is it?
Yeah, geography, science. God damn it, you can hear I don't know English very well. You know, those kind of things I'm not that good at in life. But you know, those three subjects, the boxing, the movies, and little hip-hop, I kind of know my shit. And yeah, the thing is, what it is, fellas, you know it, man. You know how the world works. The world hates the truth, man. And if you tell the world the truth, they hate your guts for it. So, you know, and most of these people that are – see, let me tell you, most, not all, but most of the hardcore fight fans – I appreciated what I said. Like, you know, I got feedback from Chad Dawson. Oh, good job. You know, that was funny shit. You know, and Paul Williams. Yo, already the Rugged Man's telling the truth. And Bernard Hopkins telling me, like, you know, Bernard Hopkins saying that, yo, R.A., man, you came to Philly when I was blackballed, when nobody would even write an article about me. You was coming to Philly to see me. You know what I mean? And like, I got all these fighters. Shane Mosley saying Rugged Man spoke the truth, you know. And you know, a lot of fight fans. You know, and regular fight fans sticking up for R.A. saying, shit, this shit should
be
said.
Hey, we had Paul Williams on the show last night. He said the same thing, man.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's where I heard him say that then, too, because maybe it was your show I heard it off of, but I heard Paul Williams saying that, yeah, saying R.A. the Rugged Man told the truth and this and that, and he knows his boxing. The catch that it really offended is more so is a lot of these hip-hop kids that, you know, like fair-weather fight fans, you know, that only come for the big fights, and they believe the hype and the gloss, and they go, what do you mean? That's the best fight ever. And he's 40-0. He's 40-0. And then if you go, well, so is Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., they'll be like, what? Floyd's 40-0. Well, I just told you. So, you know what I mean? Like, and then a lot of cats are so ignorant that they'll start saying, oh, R.A. just doesn't want to see the black man get ahead. He's a racist.
Oh, man, let me tell you, man, we got a lot of that. I'm glad you mentioned that right there, because when I said something, I'm saying that you told the truth, a lot of black people came at me and was like, hey, man, how you could do that? How you going to go in there and how you going to pull that crack of dick because he can't put Mayweather in his place and this and that? And I ain't want to hear that shit. You told it how it was. You asked the question that I wanted to hear.
See, that's the thing is, man, that's more racist than all of the shit. Because today, in this era, so people are looking at skin color now. I'm saying, like, a white man and a black man can't have a discussion or a disagreement without putting race into the equation. You know how racist that is and how ignorant that is? You know, so if it was a black man speaking to a black man, it would have been okay, or a white man speaking to a white man. So now we still, in 2009, can't speak to each other as equals and have a disagreement and shut the other guy down. We can't do that if one's white and one's black. It's just, we're talking boxing. Let's get off this shit, you know. It's like, now I'm getting all goddamn.
People don't do their research either, because, I mean, you're a guy who's done collaborations with what, 90% African-American hip-hop artists?
I put it more than 90% probably. I committed my entire life to a black culture and lived my whole life for it, you know? So,
right,
so
exactly.
I mean,
people don't know what they're talking about is what the real problem is, because, I mean, you've done collaborations with everybody.
Yes, and they've done them with me out of respect too, you know, like, right. Like, you know, and it's just, you know, it's just some silly shit. Cats, you know, that's the easy argument, you know, it's the easy argument. Oh, he's
it's
racist.
Always,
oh, yeah.
It's always the easy one to go for, and we've all dealt with it on this show. If they don't have anything else to say, then you got to be a racist, because that's the last thing they can hit you with.
Yeah, it's silly. Well, and like I had asked Bernard, we were talking to Bernard on the phone, you know, on one of the interviews, and I brought it up, and that's why he said, brother, man, come on, man. When nobody had my back in the press, you was there trying to help me. So how the hell, you know, you don't want to see a black man get ahead when you're sitting there helping this black man, you know, when no one else would in the press. You know what I mean? So, you know, I mean, people that know me, people with a brain could listen to that and just know that has nothing to do with race. It has to do with the love of boxing, you know.
I heard that.
So,
you know what? We got a clip right now of Pun talking about you, you know, Punisher Williams talking about you when we asked him, and you know, he kind of gave a response, and, you know, so I'm going to play it real quick, and you tell me what your thoughts about it.
No,
so what do you think? I'm not ducking and dodging nobody.
Yes, you are.
You don't hear Miguel Cotto calling me out. You don't hear Pacquiao calling me out.
Oh, they'd all love to fight.
Sugar Shane calling you out.
Paul Williams would spank your ass, Floyd. Paul Williams would spank your ass.
Hey, Paul, real quick, before you take off, man. Did you listen to that interview that R.A. Rugged Man did with Money Floyd? And if you did, what were your thoughts about that, man?
Yeah, man, the dude spoke the truth, man. He boxing knowledge. That dude, he knew boxing and stuff. Like he said, okay, if at first you did, you know, when you was doing crowds and everybody, you know, so you did what you did. But now you fighting guys, you coming 17 pounds heavier than, you know what I'm saying, bigger than, and then you talking about, when they ask you about me and other guys, you talking about, well, Williams, he too big. I mean, if I'm too big, why are you fighting guys that you bigger than? You know, you keep contradicting yourself, you know. So the dude, he really got on him and stuff, you know, and that woke a lot of people up, you know. I mean, a lot of people on Twitter was hitting me up, telling me, they interviewed me on the little on website that they was on and stuff. So it was kind of crazy and stuff. I mean, he really ratted them out. He know the deal. Like you said, he too big, you know. So that's all he gonna have to say. But he ain't gonna disrespect or say nothing crazy out of the way, because he knows that if he says whatever he said, I can't, or he's saying this and that. And people, okay, well, prove it then. You know what I'm saying? Williams will definitely prove it. So then, you know, he didn't want to get into that conversation. He cut that real shout.
Yeah, he sure did.
and you know what? He was right about that, all right? He really didn't. Floyd Mayweather really didn't disrespect him when you brought him up. I mean, because you said, you told him he whooped that ass, and he never really retracted that. He never kind of came back at you and said, like, what? You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you told me that somebody could whoop my ass, automatically I'd be like, man, you're crazy. Bring them then. Bring them on then.
But it ate him inside, because about 10 minutes later into the conversation, he's like, oh, Paul Williams got his ass kicked. What are you talking about? And let me try to bring up the loss when Paul redeemed himself with a first-round knockout. Yeah, it's funny. But, you know, hey, it is what it is. And that's other haters would sit there and break down my analysis or whatever. They'd be like, well, he said he was 17 pounds difference. And I'm like, yeah, because Floyd kept bringing up how he looked better than Pacquiao fighting, you know, JMM. And I was saying that was at 130, the first fight. That was 130, you know. And everybody knows that Marquez is in his prime at 126 and 130, and when he moved up to 135, you know, he beat a shop-worn Casamayor, and he looked kind of, you know, he looked like he was going to lose against Diaz for the first six, seven rounds, and then he had to gain another 140, you know, had to gain a whole bunch of more weight to get up to 147, and then Floyd didn't even try to make weight at 145. He was like, he didn't even try to make the weight, so it is what it is, man.
Well, let me ask you this, man. You know, I'm going to play a little bit of devil advocate, because, you know, I've gotten a lot of emails about the whole Bernard Hopkins. When you mentioned Bernard Hopkins being a much better than Floyd Mayweather, a lot of his supporters were like, how are you going to say that, man? I mean, Bernard did kind of the same thing that Floyd did. You know,
no,
Bernard
didn't.
fought De La Hoya. Bernard fought Trinidad.
Yeah. Bernard fought David. Yeah. Bernard fought De La Hoya, you know, in the middle. What was he like? 18 defenses into the middleweight title, where he fought like every middleweight on the planet. You know, defense after defense. A guy like Glenn Johnson that was bigger, who was able to win a light heavyweight championship, and an Antoine Echols before he got shot, and every middleweight challenger there was, and Trinidad. They're acting like Trinidad was small now. Oh, Trinidad was a small fighter. No, he wasn't. When Trinidad moved up to 160, he looked devastating, and people forget that Bernard Hopkins was the 3-1 underdog in that fight because the way he dismantled and destroyed William Joppy and dropped him 5 times and annihilated Joppy. People was like, holy shit, this guy Trinidad is a monster. So
yo, but then Trinidad did still come up on 147 and go into a division that really he didn't belong in a lot of, and, you know, I mean, that's what
they're saying. It's very different because, no, it's very different because at 147 he started looking lousier at 147 because he couldn't make the weight anymore, and he was weight drained trying to make 147. So he went up to 154 and cleaned the division, beating up David Reed, beating up Fernando Vargas, who was undefeated at the time, who people gave a big shot at beating Trinidad. He cleaned 154, and then he went up to 160 and destroyed the champion in Joppy and looked like a monster. And he was 40-0, just like Floyd's 40-0, but with knockouts. And he was devastating his fighters. So when people try to go, oh, Trinidad moved up. No, there's a big difference when you weight train to 147, go 154, clean out the division, and then move out to 160 and beat the champion, one of the champions with a belt at 160, and your favorite to beat B-Hop by at least 2.5-1 if it's not 3-1. So that's a lot. That's where it's a lot different. You know, not where a guy like Marquez. Come on, was looking lousy at 130. Was looking iffy at 135. Was looking worse than he did at 130. At 135, he's 30 something years old. His weight, you know, Trinidad was 29 and was putting on the weight healthy. He looked healthy at 160. Manuel Marquez had fat bouncing off his back. He looked shitty. He the guy looked sluggish. You knew he couldn't hurt nobody at the weight. We knew that Trinidad was well built at 160. And in fact, you know, the guy's a big, Trinidad's a big guy. So that argument is ridiculous. The only one you give, B-Hop is when with Oscar De La Hoya fight, because Oscar De La Hoya wanted to try to get the middleweight title. And it
but you know what, I'm going to add a little bit to what you're saying right now, because this is what I was saying to a couple of fight fans that were emailing me about this, okay, a couple of Floyd Mayweather fans. This is the way I clarified, okay? If we remember back, Bernard, really, honestly, there was nobody out there for him to face. You had a Keith Holmes, William Joppy, right? The whole tournament was really the kind of – it was like a going-out party for him. That's why
– That tournament was made for – no, that was Trinidad's tournament. They wanted – you know, Don King wanted –
that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. It was Trinidad's coming-out party stuff, and that's the only way Bernard was really going to get the recognition by getting involved in that tournament.
Yeah, and they even had a statue made for Trinidad as the winner of the tournament. You know that story, right?
Yeah.
Don King had that fucking statue already with Trinidad's name on it, ready for him, knowing that he was going to whoop Bernard's ass. So when Bernard won the fight, they didn't even have a statue for him. They had to go make one.
Now, the other thing about the whole Oscar De La Hoya thing, he had nobody to fight after. That's why he took that fight. You know, and why would anybody want to fight Oscar De La Hoya? That's a stupid move not to fight Oscar De La Hoya when you know he brings the money. You know what I mean?
And that was a fight. Yeah, he took it, but with 21 title defenses, Carlos Monzon was 14 defenses. He went up to 20 title defenses. And I think De La Hoya was what, like his 18th or 19th or 20th? I don't have those facts exactly straight, but what I'm saying is, yeah. When Golden Boy wants to fight you and wants to test himself at middleweight, let's take the fight. The guy went 10 years straight undefeated at middleweight. I'll take the fight with De La Hoya, make a whole ton of money, and be the only guy to stop him, except not as Pacquiao. But there's no problem with taking one fight when all your other fights. You know, how often is Bernard Hopkins the underdog in his fights? Very often. Very often. You know what I mean? Like he, every time the guy fights, the guy fought Pavlik was at what, 3-1 underdog. He fought Calzaghe was a 2.5-1 underdog. But when he fought Antonio Tarver, he was a 2.5 or to three, the one underdog. When he fought Trinidad, he was a 2.5 to 3. He always fights the guys that are supposed to whoop his ass. That's what makes him fucking unbelievably great. That's why I say Hopkins is great over and over again. That's why I'm such a huge fan of the man, because he's a throwback and he doesn't give a shit about nothing but his legacy. Yeah, he cares about money too.
But the only thing is my man Bernard won't fight Roy Jones. What's up with that? Why won't he fight Roy?
He's fighting him now. You're talking about...
Yeah, that 50-50 split, right? That's what they're talking about, 50-50 split? But that's a long way from now, you know what I mean?
No, they're fighting him. They're both fighting warm-up fights now, and then the Roy fight is next. That's already... as long as they both win their fights, that fight's happening. But let me tell you, the Roy Jones fight back when Roy was undefeated, Roy was very, very... You know, you're forgetting that this was Roy Jones, a guy that didn't want to make any fight happen. After, you know... See, Roy, the second half of his career, didn't want to fight anybody. So Roy's tactics were definitely, you know, a big part of what got in the way there, because, you know, Roy's negotiating. He, you know, why didn't he fight anybody, any of the other champs at all for the second half of his career? Because Roy, you know, had those negotiation tactics where he wouldn't make fights happen.
Yeah, and he won 90-10 out of everything. You know what I mean? 90% out of everything.
Yeah,
well, that's not the only way John...
his way out of these fights.
Yeah, he was getting his way out of certain fights, and the only reason John Ruiz got to fight him was because Roy gave him the worst contract in the world, and Ruiz was like, sure, I'll take it. And Roy was like, really? Okay. So Roy had to test himself, and he looked great testing himself. And, you know, that's the thing. If Floyd has the opportunity and gets forced into one of these goddamn fights, there's a good chance Floyd might be able to show his greatness and, you know, like, look, I'm still great, motherfuckers, and show it. But, you know, if you're not going to prove yourself, we'll never know it, because there's a good possibility that a lot of these boys we're talking about will whoop Floyd's ass. And there's a possibility that Floyd is that much more talented than them, that he'll be able to beat up one of the big boys and outclass one of the big boys.
But we'll never know until we see it. Until we see it, we won't know.
I got a Bernard Hopkins question for you, R.A. What do you make of the two Jermaine Taylor fights back in 2005?
Oh, I think, you know, HBO stole them belts from him. It was a bullshit fight. Thank you.
Especially because I'm a big Bernard Hopkins fan, too, man, and that first fight was ridiculous. But the
last round, even, this is where the biggest bullshit, because you go, well, Bernard didn't throw enough, but he was the undisputed champion, man, and you're telling me Jermaine won that title, and the last round where fucking Bernard beat him from pillar to post and just beat the shit out of fucking Jermaine Taylor, one of the judges gave the fucking round to Jermaine Taylor. And if he didn't, it would have been a draw. Bernard would have kept his belts, but the fucking asshole judge, HBO bought or whatever the fuck. See, you can't hold me liable because I don't have a real job. So I'll say maybe HBO bought the motherfucker. You know, I don't know who the fuck. You know how the fuck you're gonna give. You know how the fuck they could have gave that round.
I think they
were tired of Bernard Hopkins from day one. Yeah, they hate Bernard. They always did. They were tired. They're tired of him now. They were tired of him then. The guy, you know, he's a street dude, street mentality, out the penitentiary, and he's not. They're not what they want to deal with. They want to deal with a Jermaine Taylor friendly. Look at him. Yeah, he's friendly. He's got a nice smile, and he's young. And oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, come on. Jim Lampley wanted to fucking blow Jermaine Taylor. Jim Lampley wanted to give Jermaine Taylor head. He wanted to give him a blowjob every year. Oh, Jermaine Taylor. And remember
what do you think about? I got a question for you. Now that we're on Jermaine Taylor, you think he should retire, man, and somebody else should replace him in this tournament?
Yeah, I do.
Why is that?
I mean, he took, you know, two bad knockouts in a row, and this tournament is for the big guy, the big boys. They're, you know, they're all the best. If you put this guy in the ring with Mikael Kessler right now, and he's, you know, he's got this, you know, two heavy knockouts in a row, the boy could get hurt. You know, right now he doesn't need to be fighting the best in the world. If Jermaine Taylor is going to make a comeback, which I'm not even sure if he should, but if he's going to, he has to start with a couple light touches and get his confidence back and work his way up, and then say he gets on a winning streak, then he can go fight the best. I think putting him in the ring with the best fighters at his weight class right at this very moment after two brutal knockouts. So one knockout and one brutal knockout. He was concussed. He was in the hospital for like 3-4 days after that fight. Did you know that? He stayed in Germany in a hospital.
Yeah, he did.
I think it's dangerous for him. I think he needs to take some time off, and if he comes back in 4 or 5 months, fight a couple light touches and get his confidence back. And if he looks good against the light touches, you know, start him over again. Start him from the beginning, because those fights, his knockout loss to Arthur Abraham was scary, man. You know, it was scary, man.
But I mean, let's be real though, man. I mean, did he really belong in this tournament, Jermaine Taylor? I mean, when I heard that announcement that his name was in there, I was like, why is he in this tournament?
Well, you know what? Obviously, you were right, and I was wrong, because I thought he could have fit in it, you know, because he did. Carl Froch, he was winning the fight until that 12th round, you know, and Carl Froch is in it. And Andre Durrell's a new Jack, which I think he got robbed against Carl Froch last, you know, when he fought. I think Durrell deserved the decision. I thought that was bullshit. And I'm not even just rooting for the American fighter. I could care less. I just want the real guy to win, you know, the guy that deserved to win to win. But, you know, and Andre Ward is unproven, you know. You know, there's some guys that maybe Jermaine could have stood a chance against.
Who could replace him right now? Who could replace Jermaine, in your opinion? Give me three names right now that Ari Rugged Man would like to see step up to the plate.
Well, the guy that's calling up later is who I think they're talking about. Aren't they talking about Alan Green stepping up to the plate?
We got Alan Green calling in a minute. Hopefully
that's who they're talking about. But what about who the hell are the two champions that aren't in the tournament that are actually fighting each other? I forget their name.
Yusei and Andrade.
Yeah. What about Bika or what was the name?
I think he'd probably make a pretty good replacement as well. Yeah.
I just can't say that goddamn name, but you know, why not put a guy like that in there?
A tough night a few years ago. I think he'd be a great fit.
Yep.
Joe Calzacchi.
What about Chad Dawson?
If Chad Dawson gets through Glenn Johnson, I know there's some talk about that.
Him
stepping down from 175 and going into 168.
That would be very interesting. You know, I mean, I'd watch it. You know, I'd watch it. You know, I think they're talking Alan Green too, because he's an American and they're trying to replace an American with another American name. You know what I mean? To keep it, you know, the three Europeans and three Americans. I think that's what they're trying to do with it. I mean, you know, obviously Chad Dawson's an American too, but I don't know. Is Chad Dawson willing to give up his belt to move down to 168, or does he have to give up his belt? How does that work?
Well, you know, that's the question I guess they would have to negotiate, because we had him on the press conference, and, you know, his promoter automatically had mentioned it, saying, yeah, you know, we're looking into it, but first, obviously, we got to get past Glenn Johnson, and if we get past him, you know, Chad can make 168 comfortably. And Chad said the same thing himself. He said, I can make it comfortably, but I think he would have to vacate those titles to move back down to 168.
It all depends on when he made a mandatory defense. If it's been a year, then you have to give it up. And I think this tournament covers way more than a year. So, yeah, he definitely has to vacate his title.
Yeah, and plus, what if he moved for him, you know? Because what if he moves down to 168 and he looks lousy because he loses some of his power or something, you know, or something happens. And then, what, he signs to this tournament, and then he's got to fight at 168 for the next year and a half of his career. If he knows his body better than we do, you know, so maybe he can do it, you know. I'm not sure, but I would definitely be interested, I would definitely be interested in seeing that happen. Who you guys favor? You guys favor Abraham to win the thing, or who you guys picking?
You know what, man, I'm going to be – Go ahead, Strikeheart, real quick. You go first.
I got a top three right now and a bottom three. I can't pick a winner, especially since we haven't even finished the first round with the next fight coming up. But I think Kessler, Ward, and Abraham make up the top three for me. And I don't know if we could even say Taylor's still in it, but Froch and Durrell, although I believe Durrell proved he was better than Froch, I actually scored the fight a draw. And I had to take a point away from him because the referee did. So,
you had Froch actually winning the fight.
I had Frotch win in the fight by default by 1 point, yeah. But
you know what? I had to fight 8-4. Maybe you think I'm crazy.
No,
I really did.
I don't think
I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
I had that score.
A lot of close rounds. I think it was just Darrell's mistake fighting in somebody's backyard to let the rounds be as close as they were and not be more aggressive. I think had he been more aggressive, not only would he have won that fight, but he would have knocked them out. I mean, I'm convinced of the fact if they fought again, Carl Frosch would get knocked out by Andre Darrell. And I wasn't sure. I was a doubter before the fight. So.
Well, you also have to look is the boy only had 17 professional fights and was fighting a knockout artist in Frock. So, you know, he definitely did his little boxing and playing it safe to a degree, but he was also scoring. And Frock looked like an amateur through half of the fight the way Darrell was making
Frock
him look.
Oh, yeah, Frock looked terrible. Frock looked terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
All that talent and stuff.
But, I mean, a loss is a good thing for a guy, so I don't really feel all that bad for him. I feel good for him because pretty soon you'll turn out to be Floyd Mayweather protecting your zero forever, and I kind of like it when a guy has one loss. Then I know I don't have to worry about him avoiding everybody later on in his career.
Yeah.
I got one more question about Bernard Hopkins before we move off of that because I know we're moving on. But I wanted to get your comment. I know you and I are huge B-Hop fans. Do you think he left a curse on the title, man? Because ever since he's stepped away from that middleweight division, it's been pretty terrible. And now we got a guy sitting on belts who won't even fight anybody.
Well, I think that Pavlik really does have something wrong with his hand, doesn't he? Didn't they show pictures of it and it's all fucking – wasn't there some kind of gangrene shit in it or something?
He was cleared to fight, about a month out.
Oh, he was? Wasn't no crazy inspection. That's just a publicity lie or something.
It depends on which camp you're listening to because we had both camps on. But even Jack Lowe says that his hand is okay as far as I'm aware. He just said that they couldn't really work out on the bag as much as they wanted to, so he didn't feel comfortable having him in the fight.
Hey, guys, I'm going to cut it real quick because, you know, we got our next guest. We got R.A. Rugged Man on with us. Are you going to stick around with us for a minute, right?
Yeah, just let me know. Yep.
Oh, cool. All right. I'm going to patch in Andre Berto. You know, we call him up to be a guest. Andre Berto, you on the line, brother?
Yeah, I'm on the line. What's happening?
What's going
on,
brother?
Andre, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, my man? Hey, what's up? My man, Rugged Man, what's going on, man? You there?
What's going on, brother? I saw you Twittering about me, saying that I kicked his ass.
yeah, let it be known. Yeah, I checked out. Yeah, I got a lot of hits from a lot of homies. They're like, you need to check this interview out. My man going in on Floyd. I'm like, okay. I checked out. I'm like, man, my man really knows his history too, man. So it was a good look.
Thank you, brother.
You got a fan overnight.
Yeah.
I think you got a fan, a lot of fans overnight, Berto. What do you think?
Yeah, man. He did his thing, man. He got a lot of guys that just go in there and just talk crazy. But he had a lot of stats. He had a lot of history to back everything up. I was surprised. I was definitely surprised by it, man. And you know, it was unexpected, but I was definitely impressed.
Yeah. And before I ask you my first question, brother, real quick, I gotta give a shout out to our sponsors, www.havocworldwide.com, who sponsors Leaving in the Ring. All right, Rugged Man, go ahead and ask your question, Roberto, brother. You were gonna ask.
No, I was gonna say, speaking of Twitter, I saw we're all like Twitter nerds now these days, right? But speaking of Twitter, I saw that Darrell said, "Hey, yo, Berto, you got that fight with Shane? So is that a done deal? What was Darrell talking about?"
Yeah, that's pretty much, we've been working on it for a while. You know, it seems like it's going to be a pretty done deal. I think it's going to be officially announced, next weekend at the Pacquiao Cotto fight. So,
the papers are signed?
Yeah, papers are signed. It's ready to go.
Oh, wow, man. That's an interesting fight right there, boy.
Definitely. Now, man, let me ask you this. How did you get him to want to sign? Because he was pretty, solid about not fighting you or anybody else. See, he had his eyes set for Manny Pacquiao or Floyd. I mean, because I was seeing on your Twitter, too, that you were kind of tired of him talking smack. You were like, yo,
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, it got to a point that, you know, Shane has pretty much had his, just pretty much had his back on the wall. He didn't really have too many other people to fight. Floyd definitely, you know, isn't going to fight him anytime soon. You know, Manny Pacquiao's pretty tied up. Cotto's pretty tied up. You know, so I was pretty much the only other, name out there he could really go against. He didn't really want to do it, but you know, he's been out of the ring for a year, and, he pretty much just got pushed in the situation. He didn't really have anything else to do. He could have waited, but then again, you know, he had to risk, you know, trying to wait for the win out of, Pacquiao Cotto, and, you know, them guys still not wanting to fight him. And, you know, just like I said before, you know, Floyd isn't looking forward to try to fight him anytime soon anyway. So he's just anxious, man, want to get in there. And I respect him for that. And just trying to get it cracking.
Yeah. Well, I still, even though it took a lot of hustling and annoying shit to make it happen, I still give Shane credit for getting in the ring with you, man, because, you know, everybody knows you're one of the most dangerous guys at welter. And, you're new school. You don't have one of the big monster names like a Floyd. So just the fact that he's getting in the ring with you, man, that's going to
– already, we're getting ahead of ourselves. The man hasn't even signed the contract right now. I thought he said it was signed.
I thought he said it was signed. That's why I thought the Berto just said it was signed. It's not signed?
Yeah, my end is done. I think Shane still have to.
My bad.
You know what I'm saying?
But it looks like everything is pretty much, just lined up. So it looks like it's pretty much going to be done by the end of, this upcoming week. So.
Hey, Berto, where the fight going to be at? They had any, y'all talked about where the fight going to be held at?
It looks like the first candidate is going to be out in
You ain't gonna do that at Staples, right, Berto?
What's that?
Berto, you ain't doing it at the Staples, right?
No, I ain't doing the Staples.
You know the curse of the Staples, man. The Staples.
I already know. So we just trying to put it just like on neutral grounds, man. And just like he said, I'm the kid of the new school. So it's definitely gonna be a fight to really open a lot of eyes, and it's definitely a fight at the box, people.
Hey, man, I hope you bring some fights here to the Gunshine State, homie, because we in Florida, we dying for some fights over here.
Man,
I went to Hollywood and saw your fight. I saw your fight in Hollywood, man. So bring some fights to the Gunshine State, homie.
Man, you know that's home. You know that's home for me. So hopefully, everything goes well with Shane, and we can bring some big shows. Bring some big shows back home to Florida.
Yeah. You still talk to this dude, Damien. I remember when you were like 4-0, he hit me up with like a press package, like, yo, you gotta know about Berto, Andre Berto. Yeah, he was hitting me up about you. He was like new in the game.
As a matter of fact, I was just out in New York last week or the week before, and I sat down and chopped it up with him. That's my man. We still keep pretty tight, and he definitely supports me in everything I do still.
Yeah. He's doing winky stuff for all them years. He's winky.
Big boxing, man.
Hey, fellas, I got to take this because I got a photo shoot with the Village Voice. You want me to call you back or we're good?
Absolutely.
Call us back, brother.
Call us back, man.
Yeah, because
we
got
questions
cool.
I want you to answer.
Yeah.
So,
all right, brothers. I'll call you in a minute. If you're not there, Berto, I'll be in touch, brother. Nice to meet you.
All right, my man. Yeah, appreciate you, man. It was nice talking to you.
That was R.A. Rugged Man with us on Leaving the Ring. He'll be calling right back, you guys. So, and then we're going to be putting up some R.A. Rugged Man cuts, some classics out of his album, so you can check it out. We got Andre Berto right now on the line with us to chop it up. And right now, he just announced it's hopefully, Sugar Shane Mosley inks that contract so they can get this fight started. Now, but let me ask you this, because if you know about the whole 168 tournament, and it looks like that's really good for boxing. There's been some talk about 147. Has anybody approached you about that? Has your management team or your promoter said, hey, if we get this together, would you want to be involved in that?
Yeah, definitely, but I doubt it happens, man. That's a dream tournament. you know what I mean, that that the boxing fans I would definitely love, but I doubt that happens, man, because there's a lot of, they have a lot of huge champions in the division, a lot of ego that goes on. I don't really think they'll have enough money to put up to satisfy everybody in the division to try to make a tournament like that happen, man, because a lot of them, a lot of tournaments like the Super 6, the 168, they already have the set, you know, purses for the fights, for each fight. And I know a lot of these guys, they definitely don't want to, you know, deal with any type of situation like that.
You know, there's another guy. Well, there's another guy that's been a thorn in your foot, man, and that's called Luis Collazo. His manager team have called us. We've spoken to him. He's been on the show, you know, and he keeps saying he's trying to make the fight with you, but it just doesn't seem it's going to happen.
Luis Collazo, you know, that first time we fought, realistically, I didn't have to fight him. I wanted to fight him. And he, you know, as you can see, you know, I wasn't 100%, you know, like I have been my last couple fights. I had a lot of, you know, situations that happened during training camp, but I still pushed through and still wanted the fight to happen. We went out there, we fought it out. It was a tough fight. You know, he pushed me to the limit, and I showed a different side of me. I showed what kind of heart I had. And, you know, and then I got the win. Yeah, I won the fight. And I told him in the ring, I will give you a rematch. Immediate rematch. And you know, my team went in, they continue asking if I wanted that rematch. I told the team, let's make it happen. And as soon as we went in and tried to make it happen, Collazo, he, for some reason, because he had a lot of people in his ear, had his whole team in his ear. He just thought he, you know, he was the man. And, you know, he made crazy demands for money, you know, and at the same time, he figured that he should get more money than I got for the fight. So I'm like, okay, he's just talking outrageous, and HBO wasn't having it, so he kind of blew his chances, and then as soon as they turned his back on him with the rematch, then he starts coming out and just saying, hey, you know, he'll fight me for nothing, and he'll just do this, and he doesn't want to fight again, but it was already a done deal, already signed a deal to fight to fight the next guy. So I put it out there, and I gave him a chance to have a rematch. He didn't want to have it at the time because he made crazy demands for money, and it just didn't happen. So, you know, so it was not my fault. You know what I mean? I wanted it to happen. It didn't happen. It was his fault, and, you know, we just keep it moving, you know. But, you know, we'll see what happens in the future.
Strikeheart, I know you did a lot of one-on-ones with Collazo and his camp. Can you kind of enlighten us a little bit about what was their side of the story, what they were talking about?
Was actually David Chen, but I mean, I think the crux of what they say, and you know, everybody's team always puts the best face forward, but they make it sound like you wanted nothing to do with it from the get go, And I mean, at this point, like you said, I think they'd be willing to take a rematch, whatever the deal would be. They just want the rematch. Is it something that you would not do at any point, or is it something that you're actually seriously considering and you won't just say, yeah, sure, I'm considering it?
I mean, at the same time, in my career, I've never ducked anybody, and there isn't no reason for me to try to pass up a fight with a guy like Shane Mosley to go back and try to fight a guy like Collazo. If Collazo continues to prove himself or get another title or whatever case may be, or after, you know, if everything goes well with Shane and I have another opponent that I need to fight, I'll definitely fight Collazo again. It was an exciting fight the first time, and like I said, I wasn't 100%. I know that I'll beat him a lot easier and better the second time around.
A lot of people make a point that maybe Luis Collazo is a little bit too quiet, a little bit too nice of a guy. I'll give you a couple examples. Pauly Malignaggi, you know, was screaming to high heaven before and after his fight. He's getting a rematch. Nate Campbell made a lot of noise. He got his decision turned into a no contest.
Yeah.
If Luis Collazo was as loud as those guys were, would we see a rematch?
I really don't think it really matters on how loud you are. I mean, with Pauly Malignaggi, I believe, you know, the situation was pretty much, you know, evident that, you know, he needed a rematch because pretty much everybody thought he wanted to fight. Nate Campbell, they continue showing the replay, and they can see clearly it was a headbutt that stopped the fight. I mean, with Louis Collazo, you know, he lost. It was a close fight, but
he lost, but it was a close fight. And
yeah, it was a close fight,
Let's just say...
It was a close fight. That's why I said after the fight, I will give you a rematch.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't,
and I mean,
you know, he didn't accept it at the time. He didn't accept it at the time.
For argument's sake, if he had been able to maybe hold up a little bit more or put out a little bit more in those last two rounds, the decision could have been close for him too.
Yeah,
it was
right,
those last
right.
two rounds that gave you that decision. So
you're definitely right. But at the same time, just like you said, it's his last two rounds that he could have won, and he didn't put out what he was supposed to put out. He didn't put out what I put out those last two or three rounds. I put my heart out on the canvas.
Absolutely. Even for people that scored against you, nobody says, you know, you didn't show a lot of heart in those last two rounds.
Definitely. But just to answer your question, of course, I would love to fight Collazo again. I told him after the fight, I've said in interviews, you know, months or two after the fight when I fought Urango, I said I'd love to fight him again because it was an exciting fight. I'm a fighter at the end of the day. All this other stuff really doesn't mean all too much to me unless I'm going in there performing, having exciting performances to have people remember. It was an exciting fight, and I would love to fight him again. If it makes sense, let's do it.
Let's just be real, though. Close fights happen all the time in boxing.
Yeah,
it doesn't always mean that you have to give that fighter another chance. You're moving on to bigger things now.
Exactly.
We would rather see you fight Mosley. That's what we – it sounds to me as though you don't move past that. And I move past it, too, as a boxing fan. I don't even want to talk about the Collazo thing no more. Because close fights, they happen all the time in boxing.
Exactly.
That don't mean that fighter got the right to fight again and again and again.
Exactly.
That's just the brace.
Already Rugged Man back online.
How you doing, fellas?
Yeah. Man, that was a fast photo shoot right there, bro.
Yeah, not the photographer just walked in. He's like looking at my apartment and shit. Like, it's a mess here, too. He wants to shoot me in my own apartment. It's disgusting in here. He's like, these dirty brown walls are fly. I'm like, okay, all right, you know, if you like them.
Hey, but Rugged Man, as far as Collazo and Berto fighting again, this was a close fight, but wouldn't you rather see him fight Mosley? I mean, I don't even want to talk about Collazo right now.
Well, yeah, I would love to see him fight Mosley. And you know, like Berto was saying also, he was also saying that, you know, the door is open for maybe a future Collazo rematch. We'll see what happens. And the thing is, you know, you got to feel bad for Collazo, though, because of the Hatton decision. And this fight, he fought his fucking heart out. And some people thought Collazo won it. Some people thought Berto won it. You know, but that's, like you guys were saying, close fights happen. And you know, fights like that are debatable, and Berto did pull it out in the last two rounds if you look at it, you know, but you know, when a fight is that good, it wasn't just a close fight, it was a good fight and a fun fight to watch, you know, why not let the fans see it again eventually if Collazo, you know, continues to do good. I'm not sure what was Collazo's last fight. What did he do after that anyway?
I'm not sure.
He tuned himself up on somebody, but I don't think any of us are going to remember the name.
No, nobody remembers. Hey, Berto, let me ask you this.
That's the problem, though. I just want to say one thing for Collazo, or I can feel for him, too, because he's definitely a talented guy. None of us are going to say he isn't. But right now, there really isn't a reason for anybody to fight him because he's not sitting on a title. He doesn't have a big name.
Exactly.
So that's where you feel bad for the guy because you know that he's got the talent and he deserves
it. Yeah, and that's always a problem because when you give a guy like Berto a close fight, you know, and you beat up Hatton and stuff like that and you don't have a big name, now it's like, who the fuck is going to fight this guy? Who's going to want to fight him? Any name?
Nobody.
Like, why take Collazo when he's not a name but he's actually pretty good? And he's a good fighter, so he's in a tough predicament right now. Because after looking good like that, who's gonna want to fight the guy? That's the problem, you know. And without a name, you know. So yeah, fighters like that get it bad when they look good. You ruined the guy's career, Berto.
He turned into a star overnight, man. Well, you know.
Hey, Andre, you were supposed to fight Berto. You were supposed to fight Mosley before. Was you disappointed when that fight didn't fall through the first time?
Yeah, definitely was. I mean, you know, it was a fight that I wanted before. You know, it didn't happen. You know, in Mosley camp, I didn't want it to happen. At the same time, just be clear. I can't be mad at him because I understand the game and I understand his position. You know, he's in.
But does that benefit you though? Because you've had a chance to grow. You're a young guy, so you're probably in a better position to fight him now. You probably gained some experience and you're a better fighter now. I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. You know what I mean? You know, right now I'm ready. You know, I'm ready. You know, back then he didn't want to make it happen because at the same time it was, you know what I mean, it's risky. It's still risky now for him. But at the same time, you know, we had a lot bigger fights out there for him. So I can't really, you know, be mad at him for that. You know, he see guys like Floyd and Manny Pacquiao making, you know, tens and 20 million dollars. Of course he wants to be part of that. But, you know, but now he's in a position, like I said before, his back is against the wall. None of those top guys are looking on fighting him anytime soon. And you know, me, I'm the young kid of the group, and I'm hungry, and I'm willing just to fight anybody right now. I'm willing to fight anybody out there. I mean, after this point, you know, he came off with a tremendous win with Margarito. Realistically, a lot of people probably wouldn't even want to fight him after that, but hey, man, you know, we in the herd business. You know, this is entertainment. Let's get it cracking.
And isn't it time for you to really step up at this time to a big name like Mosley? Because you've had the belt for a while now. So
yeah,
I think most people want to see Berto fight the Sugar Shane Mosley so you could get those fights with the Floyds and the Pacquiao's and the Miguel Cotto's.
Of course, these are the steps that a young fighter has to take, man. If he continues to try to dip and dodge, you know, from like an opposition like this, I mean, there's no reason for even trying to be in the boxing game. For what? You know, I mean, you should want to be in here just to try to fight the best, and you know, as soon as you leave, you won't be here, but your legacy will always stay, and that's the way I've always looked at things. That's the way I've been brought up as a young kid, so I mean, that's the only thing that I know. So, you know, I'm just looking forward to it.
All right, Rugged Man, if Floyd Mayweather was to step up and fight Andre Berto, would that shut us up?
Well, that would be an amazing step for Floyd in the right direction, fighting a top five guy in his own weight class. That would be what we're all asking him to do, fight somebody on size. That would be amazing for Floyd to fight Berto. I would applaud it.
But Berto ain't he really a psycho. I seen Berto at the Staples, and I came up to you, bro. I said, what's up? I mean, man, I don't know what you're eating, but you didn't look like a 147 guy walking around.
You were swollen up,
bro. I mean, what are you doing?
Man, you don't have that Ricky Hatton syndrome, do you? Where you get up to 190 in between fights?
No, I just got that. I just got that football player frame for some reason. I had that little brolic frame for some reason, man. So if I just put a little bit of food in me, I look like I need to be a running back. So hey, I just got
You got that Haitian appetite, right?
That's it. Love that.
Love
that rice. You know, so I can't be mad at it. So you know.
Yeah, my friend's mother. Go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Go
on,
tell us about your friend's mother, man.
Nah.
Just that old Haitian woman that wouldn't stop feeding us. That's all. She just wouldn't stop feeding us every day of our lives, you know.
Man, that's how it was in our household, man. My mom continued putting big full plates, man. Just big full plates on the table, and you was expected to eat all of it, or it was gonna be a problem. So you know, that's where I grew up in the household, man.
Yeah,
man. So everything, you know, just like I said before, man, everything is good. And like I said, man, I'm young. At the same time, I'm putting on exciting performances. And you know, just like I said, man, this fight game is a short span. You know, so I just want to put all I can into it. You know, before you know my time is up. You know, to be realistic, and I want to make sure. You know, I don't want to fight forever, but at the same time, I want all my fights to be remembered forever. So I want to just fight the best. You know. As long as I'm in the game, so you know, this right here is definitely going to be the first step of that. So I'm excited, man.
Let
me ask you a question about Mosley. What do you find? You got quick hands yourself, so I don't really expect that you're worried about Mosley's speed as much as most people would be. But he hits pretty hard. Are you worried about his punching power?
No, not really, man. I because I have some power myself. I mean, like the thing with Mosley, you know, he has a lot of ring experience behind him. You know, but at the same time, you know, I believe I have I got the speed and the power and the youth on my side, and I know I have everything it takes. Like to be the Shane Mosley. Yeah, I mean, just like I said in another interview, man, I mean, I remember Shane showing up at a lot of my fights, my early fights, and you know, just coming up, you know, just to watch me perform and just to pull me to the side and just tell me how I just, you know, just remind him of a younger version of him, and you know, he just hopes that, you know, by the time I get up there that he's already retired and, you know, the things like that. So he already, you know, gave me that respect, and now I'm there with him, and that, you know, I mean, that's why I kind of got a little upset, and I said a lot of things that I did because he started to get really disrespectful, you know, I mean, just out of the blue, just like he just grew a pair of balls, just, I mean, overnight.
You think some of that has to do with being around P-Hop, though?
Of course, because they're talking to him, they're telling him, oh, man, you're being too nice. You need to start talking crazy if you want Florida. You need to start talking crazy if you want these guys. But I'm not. Yeah, but I'm not the one to do that with, man, because, you know, because I'm from the South, I'm from Florida. I might see him on the street or something and, you know, spark off on him. I mean, you know, that's just, you know, that's
yeah. What happened? I saw the picture. You were partying with Shane one night. He came up to your party. What was that all about?
Yeah, I was I was on a birthday tour. Because I missed my birthday like the last 3 years because I've been at training camp every year the last 3 years, and this year I was out. So, you know, so my PR team set me up with a birthday tour. So I threw a party like in 5 or 6 different cities and like 5 or 6 different states. And I had one out in Houston. And for some reason, I'm just sitting in VIP, and somebody's just like, oh, my God, you know, guess who's here? I'm like, oh, somebody walks up and grabs him, and all I see is his face just smiling. I'm like, oh, shit, what are you doing here? He in Houston, so he come up there, and, you know, he hugging me and shit, like, hey, man, you know, heard you having something tonight, wanted to come through, this and that. So, you know, but I think he was out there with his girl. I guess he has a little girlfriend out there and whatnot, too, so they came through and showed their love a little bit. So, you know, that's the type of thing that I'm talking about. I mean, every time he sees me, it's all hugs and, you know, smiling and, you know, shaking hands. But then again, you know, he switches on me like that. So it's, you know, something I can't really respect all too much from him. But what it is.
So what chances do you give for him apologizing so he can fight you?
I mean, he ain't got to apologize. He doesn't have to do nothing. Oh, yeah.
Nah, let's keep it bad blood, baby. Bad blood. That's what sell fights anyway.
He can be up in there January 30th. That's how he can thank me. Let's get it cracking, man.
I understand.
If he apologizes or not.
He's got to apologize to WBC. That's the word on the street.
Yeah. That's the situation. I just came back from Korea, man. A WBC convention, and you know, they're really upset with him. You know, I guess he threw the belt in the trash, you know, something like that, and they just felt really disrespected.
Wasn't that where the intern belt belongs at?
I'm not sure because I don't remember the situation, and they just basically said if he doesn't apologize, that they won't allow me to fight him for the WBC title because they just don't want him to be a part of it at all. So,
let me ask you this, brother. Do you really honestly, does this belt really matter to you? I mean, don't you want to be known as the pound for pound or the best at 147?
Definitely, but right now, like I'm at the same time, I'm young, man, and that's what, you know, all those young fighters always dream of, just be strapped up with a shitload of belts, you know. So that's the thing that we love. I think WBC was my first belt, you know. I think it's the most prestigious belt. I love it to death, and, you know, but it's going to get to a point once I get a few more fights and I start making the money that I want to make, that the belts aren't going to matter, and I just want to go out there and just match up with the best. So right now, yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. Like, they do matter to me right now. I want to try to get all of them if I can, you know, but.
Let me throw this out there. Right now, if this fight happens between you and Sugar Shane Mosley, you know, obviously, you're going to be the underdog in that fight. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
people are
going
to be expecting you not to take this fight. If you dismantle him, you dismantle the monster, a guy that knocked out, you know, Antonio Margarito. That puts you up on top, right?
So in all reality, that means them bouts don't matter anymore, because now you're in the same breath with maybe facing the winner of Manny Pacquiao and Cotto. Do you think you would get in that position to face any one of those guys if they win?
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's one thing with boxing, man. Just one performance, you can turn into a superstar overnight. So if I put on a tremendous performance with Mosley, of course, I mean, it's the only thing everybody else is going to be talking about. So they can hate you one fight, and if you fight again the next fight and just smash somebody, everybody will be right back on. I mean, everybody will be right back on board. So that's just where the game goes.
And also, if Berto didn't have that belt, there would be a good chance that he wouldn't have got this Shane Mosley fight to happen, because, Shane wants to add another one of them belts onto his thing. So he's like, oh, you know what? Let's do the Berto fight, because now he's looking at another belt. So he could go, that's what they like doing these days, collecting the belts. 5-time world champion, 8-time world champion, they want to collect them belts. So if he didn't have them belts, I bet you this fight wouldn't even really be in talks,
It could be that you could be right about that, but you can also look at is that Shane needs to fight somebody that got skills, somebody to keep him up to par.
Oh, no, I'm glad No, I'm not saying it shouldn't be made. I'm just saying politically. I'm just saying the politics of the game. That's all I'm saying. I think this is a great fight for Shane to take, because it's one of the top guys in the welterweight division. I think it's a great fight for both of these guys to be taking right now. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying politically, I think a fighter with a belt definitely has that extra pull. Cats want that belt.
Well, Mr. Andre Berto, man, it's always a pleasure to have you with us on Leaving the Ring. Every time you come through, we have a blast, brother.
Definitely.
I know it's getting late and all that, and I know you got other things to do, so we're gonna let you go. And if it gets made, we can get you back on again. And hopefully, if it's cool, we get Shane at the same time, and you guys can both chop it up a little bit.
Definitely. It's always love coming on the show, man. Appreciate y'all for having me. And if it gets done, man, it's definitely going to be an epic event, man. I promise you.
Yo, man, Florida in the house, baby.
All right, cool. Mr. Rugged, man, appreciate you too, man. Good meeting you, homie.
Yeah, you too. And Berto, if it's cool with these guys, I wouldn't mind sometime getting you on the Sirius, the satellite radio that we did the other interview on, too, sometime,
Yeah.
So, definitely.
They got a contact for my folks, man. So just get that contact and hit us up. I'll definitely get on with you.
Cool. I'm so happy that this fight's gonna happen. It's a great fight. I'm looking forward to it, man. So
thank
nice
you.
Meeting you, brother.
I'll definitely give you that contact, all right. That's not even a problem, brother.
Right.
No doubt.
But let's give him a plug too on his album coming that's already out. Legendary Classics Volume 1.
It's the R.A. the Rugged Man collection. It's a whole history of my past, and it has some lost songs that were missing for like 10 years that we just found, and a bunch of old songs, a bunch of new songs. It's just a whole collection of all the classics and Notorious B.I.G., Mobb Deep, Kool G Rap, Wu-Tang Clan, Dot X from the Brand Nubians. It's just a really dope hip-hop package.
Another one,
man.
This is how you got me. I mean, I'm a huge Wu-Tang fan, but you did one with Jedi Mind Tricks, too.
Jedi Mind Tricks is on the album, too. Yep.
Right. Tragedy Gaddafi
from Queensbridge, if any of y'all are old school.
From Intelligent Hoodlum.
Yep. Exactly. Yep. There you go. I mean, Nas, Mobb Deep, all of them dudes. That's like the father. He started that shit, So Tragedy's on there also.
Yeah, man. Tragedy the man now.
He's actually locked right now. We're just waiting for his ass to get out so he could, mutilate some rappers on records again,
Oh yeah, man. Oh yeah.
What's the name of that track, Strikeheart, that you sent me, so we could play that real quick and take a quick break and let everybody hear some of the Rugged Man's tracks.
The one that he
did
with Jedi Mind Tracks is Uncommon Valor.
Oh, Uncommon Valor.
Yeah,
that's a true story. That's a true story about my father. I'm in the second verse, 44 bars. Yeah, I got this quotable in the source for that verse. Yeah.
It's about your only serious song, man. It's a really good song, too. I really like
it. I got some serious songs, brother. That ain't my only serious song.
Let
I'm the insane clown posse or something.
We might have to have have it out after the break, huh?
Okay, I think
now you guys are trying to, now you guys are trying to reverse it and crush me now, right? No, I'm just kidding.
No, I was kidding.
I'm playing with you.
I think this is it. I think this is the track and all that. This is Leaving in the Ring. We got R.A. Rugged Man with us. We just have Berto on, man. So if you missed that, you can catch him back on demand on thewillbebloodfightshow.com. StandTheFight.com. We're sponsored by HavocWorldwide.com. We'll be right back, man. Check it out. You know, R.A. Rugged Man's joint.
All right, God bless. Talk to you soon.
I have spoken to you from this office. There are so many decisions have been made that shape the history of this nation. I have always tried to do what was best.
Yep. Alamang legal na yan.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm over here, this job is evil. They sent me here to Vietnam to kill innocent people. My mother told me, said the president, he doesn't care. He's trying to leave the footprints of America here. They say we're trying to stop Chinese expansion, but I ain't seen no Chinese since we landed. Sent my whole entire unit thinking we could win against the Viet Cong guerrillas there in Chia Den. I didn't sign up to kill women or any children. For every enemy soldier, we killing six civilians. Yeah, and it ain't right to me. I ain't got enough of motherfucking fighting me. It frightens me. And I just wanna see my son and mom. But over here they dropping 7 million tons of bombs. I spend my days dodging all these booby traps and mines. And at night praying to God that I get back alive. And I'm forced to sit back and wonder why I was a part of Operation Rolling Thunder. In a foxhole with 9 months left here. Jungle like the fucking harbinger of death here. I'm ready. Call me Thorburn, John A. Staff Sergeant, Marksman, skilling, killing, illing. I'm able and willing, kill a village elephant, raping and pillage a village. Illegitimate killers, U.S. military guerrillas. This ain't no real war, Vietnam shit. World War II, that's a war. This is just a military conflict. Soothing, drug abusing, Vietnamese women screwing, sex, gambling, and fools, and all this shit is amusing. Bitches and guns, this is every man's dream. I don't wanna go home, where I'm just an ordinary human being. Special op, Huey Chopper, gunship, run shit, group run when the minigun. Spit, won't miss, kill shit, spit 4,000 bullets a minute. Victor Charlie hit trigger, hit it, I'm in it to win it, get it. The lieutenant hit it, the villain, I've been it, the killing, I did it. Crippled, did it, pictures, I painted it, vivid, livid. A wizard with weapons, a secret mission, we about to begin it. Government funded behind enemy lines, bullets are spraying. It's heating up 100 degrees, the enemies, the North Vietnamese. Bitch, please, ain't no sweat, I'm totally at ease. Until I see the pilot got hit, and we about to hit some trees. Taylor Road, a pro, crash land, American man. Cambodia, right in the enemy hand. Take a swig of the whiskey to calm us. Them yellow men wearing black pajamas, they wanna harm us. They all up on us, bang bang. Bullet hit my chest, feel no pain. To my left, the captain caught a bullet right in his brain. Body parts flying, loss of limbs, explosions. Bad intentions, I see my best friend's intestines. Pray to the one above, it's raining, I'm covered in mud. I think I'm dying, I feel dizzy, I'm losing blood. I see my childhood, I'm back in the arms of my mother. I see my whole life, I see Christ, I see bright lights. I see Israelites, Muslims and Christians. Peace, no fights, black, white, Asians, people of all types. I must have died, then I woke up surprised I'm alive. I'm in a hospital bed, they rescued me, I survived. I escaped the war, came back, but ain't escape. Agent Orange, two of my kids born handicapped. Spastic, quadriplegia, microcephalic, cerebral palsy, cortical blindness. Name it, they had it, my son died, he ain't live. But I still try to think positive, cause in life, God take, God give.
My man, we're back. We'll leave it in the ring. The home of the hardcore boxing fan. God, did R.A. Rugged Man hang up?
You know what? I don't know. It sounded almost like he did hang up. He said, I'll talk to you guys next time.
Yeah, I think he signed up. I think he thought you were throwing on the break. You were, you know, kind of in his segment.
No, you know what I thought it was a little bit there? Is that I told him that was his only serious song. And I don't know how many of you guys are familiar with R.A. the Rugged Man, but I certainly hope that this is one of his only serious songs, because most of the time he's pretty down on himself and then talks about, you know, he compares himself to serial killers and talks about how he gets off on girls cutting chunks of his skin out and hitting them with guns. You know, I hope that's his only serious song. And, I mean, it's a dope song. And all of his other songs are good, too. I don't want to tell him that his other songs ain't good. It just, he's kind of like the ODB for white people. He's kind of a, you know, a funny guy. And there's nothing wrong with
that. Why got to be white, man? Why got to be just for white people?
He's the ODB for white people. Everybody's got to have their ODB.
We got Rob Riddler back on the line. Rob, what you doing, man?
No, I just finished arguing with my grandfather about who's going to win the Manny fight and how long is Manny going to last and shit.
Well, if you listened last night, we had Alex Ariza on the line talking to us a little bit about the whole Manny Pacquiao situation, about the rumors, whatnot, you know, the shoulder, you know, him and Freddie Roach not getting along, and he cleared it up. And then he talked about a little bit about his five-finger discount. I'll put up a real short clip. If you miss it, you can go back to last night's show on demand, click it, and listen to it on There Will Be Blood. But check this out, and then we'll go through this through everybody else and see what everybody thinks about it. Of course, I want to keep talking about the Manny Pacquiao situation. I want more of an insight of what is the dietary that he's taking. And, you know, there's been some problems in the camp that's been reported. There's been some rumors that you can obviously clarify. But, Alex, I heard you've been getting pretty feisty with those hands, brother. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
You know, there's not really much to tell. It was a disagreement. It was somebody who really isn't...
You gave the man a five-finger discount, I heard. Alex, I mean, that's not a little bit to tell. You gave the man a five-finger discount, right?
I did. You know, I'm not going to lie to you. You know, it's just, Freddie, I have to give you, Freddie's a more patient man. He's a more professional guy. And unfortunately, I hope this isn't any reflection on him or Manny. It was just, he was talking about something that's, number one, way out of his pay grade. Number two, he doesn't know shit about. Oh, sorry about that.
No, it's okay. We cuss all the time, Alex. I mean, you know, as hardcore fight fans, you know, we're one of those subjects that maybe the WBC will ban us from doing a radio show because we cuss all the time. Ain't that right, Blood? Well, there you go, man. I mean, you know, I thought it was a good thing that he kind of opened up about a little bit about his five-finger discount, Blood.
Yeah, you're right. Hey, man, I be having my phone on mute, and I always be looking for that damn mute button when you ask me a question. That shit happens. That's like the third time that's happened. I'm like trying to press the mute button. My bad. Yeah, you're right, though. We cuss like sailors on here, man. But we don't we don't do it disrespectfully, man. We just talk how we talk, man. You know, that's what makes the show so great, is that we could come on here and just be ourselves. Like to me, it's like talking on the phone to you guys, man. That's, you know, it's just like a regular conversation to me.
Absolutely.
And having R.A. Rugged Man on here, you know, and I wanted to have him on because I know, you know, Chris, like you said, half of the boxing community or it's just the Floyd Mayweather fans that were questioning this guy's knowledge. And I think he clarified it for us, man. This guy knows what he's talking about. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, man, I think he just reiterated. Well, you know what? He kind of was saying the same thing I was saying, but I like what he said, too. You know, Floyd does, you, me, Blood, I know David Chan, Strikers, I'm sure Rob even deals with it online. Some of these people, they're either just fans of their guys, whether it be Floyd or Manny, or like he said, Floyd attracts a lot of these young kids, these young hip-hop fans, you know. I mean, we're all hip-hop fans, but this younger generation, some of them are on that tip with Floyd, you know. It's all about the money and the bling and the flash and all that stuff. And, you know, they're more casual, and they kind of buy into Floyd's acting. You know, us hardcore fans, we ain't sipping that Kool-Aid, as Blood would say.
I just gotta say, I was dealing with one of those guys earlier this morning, and he was like, tell me your top 20 favorite fighters of all time, bitch. Tell me your top 20, and I was like, okay. So I put down, like, Salvador Sanchez, I put down, like, a whole bunch of dudes, like, Barrera, Salvador Sanchez, Camacho, and then towards the end, I, like, put Calzacchi and Marciano, and this dude flipped on me because I didn't have Roy Jones and Mayweather in the top 20.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You know what?
And not only that, but Rugged Man, he knows his boxing. I mean, people are quick to say, oh, he don't know his boxing. And, you know, I heard a couple of people, you know, making videos and stuff saying that he don't know boxing, but they didn't even take the time to really listen to him
or to really know if he knew boxing or not. This man was talking about Bernard Hopkins. Even for him to even mention Carlos Monzon told me when he said Carlos Monzon, I said to myself, I think we got us a true fight fan right here. You know what I'm saying? So this guy was—he knew what he was talking about. He knows boxing.
Well, when you brought up the statue, when you brought up the whole statue about Trinidad, you know, which was that big old trophy thing that they were going to hand into, I already knew, okay, he was tuned in on it. Because even at that time when Trinidad was stepping in with Bernard Hopkins, really there was no source of kind of getting in tune in the boxing unless you, like, look for it. You know what I'm saying? You look for it on the Internet News. You know, you look for it on your Ring magazine or if you went and got yourself a World of Boxing magazine, something like that, you know, or KO Boxing, you know. That's how you found this information, so you know he's in tune with it. That's why, just like you said right now, some people were making some videos. I watched a few of them, and I was like, man, you know what? I don't think you guys really took the time, or you're not giving this man the credit of what he said. And some people were saying he was contradicting himself, and I was like, in what?
Well, the thing about it is that you could tell that he's more than just a casual fan. And go up to the regular person who watched boxing and ask them who Carlos Monzon is. They won't even know what the hell you're talking about. They'll try to think of which Mexican fighter to probably fight him today. Did he fight Barrera or Morales? You know, they won't know who he is. You know what I'm saying? They won't have no idea.
Right. We could give R.A., the Rugged Man, a three-hour radio show and let him talk to himself about boxing, and I bet you he could do it. I mean, the guy can go off, and you kind of have to stop him, man. That's how much the guy knows about boxing. He can just keep going.
But the one thing a lot of people, I keep hearing a lot of people said that, you know, some people in my family, because I showed a lot of people in my family, they said that he was disrespecting Floyd as a fighter and he shouldn't do that to a fighter. And I was like, you know, like you, they were like saying, who is he to disrespect the fighter? And I was explaining to them, as a fan, we are the guys who put food on the fighter's table because we pay for that shit. So
another
we have an
thing
opinion
too. His
about
father,
it.
I mean, I wish he was still on. I wish I didn't... Hopefully he doesn't feel like I insulted him, but I wish he was still on because I'm pretty sure his father was a boxer in the military, and if I'm correct, I wish he was here again to say I'm right or wrong. But I think he boxed as a kid up until he had some kind of health problem that prevented him from continuing pursuing his own boxing.
You know what, Strikecar? You know what cracks me up when they say he disrespected Floyd. How did you disrespect him? I mean. You know,
no,
I mean,
he just asked him a question.
You know
and,
what I'm saying?
And he asked the same questions that we all in a fantasy world would love to have been able to ask Floyd. He asked those questions for all of us. So I think that's
Floyd,
why, I mean, people that aren't Floyd Mayweather nut huggers are ecstatic about the interview because we would have asked the same exact questions.
Well, you know what, let's be realistic, too. There's been fight fans that didn't even get it caught on tape that have asked them the same questions. You know what I'm saying? Or there's been sports writers like Doug Fisher has asked them the same questions, but only different was is R.A. Rugged Man. R.A. Rugged Man had it on the radio. It was recorded, and then it was blasted on the YouTube. You know what I'm saying? And that's what cracks me up when you hear people say, well, who is he? You know, oh, he's a nobody. What does that matter?
Right.
Why does he got to be somebody? You know what I'm saying?
And he's had record deals, and they've just fallen apart, and it's more because of the fact that he would rather preserve his artistic creativity than, you know. Yeah, like I said, the guy raps about some crazy stuff, and record labels are like, hey.
And he's done a whole lot more than a lot of these people questioning him, Strikeheart,
right,
man. He's done a whole lot more.
Exactly. Because he didn't want to turn down his content and his albums. That's pretty much the only reason why the man never had a big deal.
You know what's funny? Hey, Blood, this is what's even funnier, okay, is that, you know, people are questioning, okay, R.A. Rugged Man, or who is he? Okay, what about when Shane Moses stepped in the ring? He's somebody. And you were crying then? People were crying then. I mean, so obviously you cannot win with pro Floyd Mayweather fans. You just can't win.
Or any, you know, it's like in all sports, man. You talk to somebody about who a Packers fan, and, you know, You going with the Cowboys, you know, there's going to be some beef and there's going to be some shit talking, and that's just how it goes in all sports. But us, we like a fan of the whole sport. So we look at everybody and we want to see the best fight. So we ain't no nut huggers over here. We ain't, you know, if Mayweather, we want to see him fight Mosley or Miguel Cotto or Margarito a couple of years ago, we're going to say that's the fight we want to see.
Whereas his fans are just going to say, oh, just put him in the ring with anybody pretty much. Oh, he's done this and he's done that. They're not looking at it. They're not looking at the big picture, man.
These fans act like we deny his talent, too, and we don't. We don't deny his talent. He's a talented guy.
Sure don't.
He ain't doing nothing with it. He ain't doing nothing with it. That's the complaint.
The difference is,
they come back at you and act like you're not recognizing that he's a talented boxer. That's just not the case.
The thing is, man, we just want to see him fight the best out there, and for some reason, his fans don't want – why would you not want to see him – I mean, you know, if – why would you not want to see your favorite fighter challenge himself against the best fighters? Like, I don't understand that mentality. I mean, I just don't get it. I don't understand why they don't want to see Floyd fight the best out there.
I'll tell you why, Chris, because, you know, Floyd called out Mosley how many years ago?
A decade ago. A whole decade ago.
You know, Mosley, I mean, Floyd called out Paul Williams 10 years ago in the amateurs. It doesn't matter anymore. Why is he going to fight him now? That's their logic of everything that they return back to somebody that's got something that has some truth to it. All right, Rugged Man was saying something that was, you know, I mean, it was, let me put it this way. He didn't mention anything that Brian Kenny didn't ask him, but the difference was it was watered down on ESPN. All right, Rugged Man put it out there the way hardcore fight fans talk, the way we are. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he laid it down the way two people, individuals, would talk to each other on the streets. And that's why it baffles me up a little bit where you hear somebody say, oh, he's disrespectful. Did the man sound disrespectful on leaving in the ring? No.
No.
You know, no. I mean.
But Mayweather's disrespect, he felt Mayweather was disrespectful to him, so he did what anyone else would do. He disrespected him back. You know what I'm saying? He did. He disrespected him back when, I mean, Mayweather's a man just like us. He eats and shits just like us. He ain't no, I mean, he can fight. That's the only difference is he can fight. He's a superb fighter, man. An elite fighter.
You don't
fighter.
Want to see him in an alley. You don't want to see
but,
him
yeah,
in an alley.
But he's still a man just like us. You don't give him the right to become disrespectful at you.
No.
Oh, yeah, I just want to go back on the nut hugger tip real quick. You know, I'm going to have to come out the closet. I might be a Manny Pacquiao nut hugger because for some reason I still want him both.
We know that, man. I think we got Floyd Mayweather calling back in, blood. I think he might be calling back in. Let's pass him through real quick and stuff. Yo, Floyd, you there?
Yeah, man, you know, I just want to know when you're going to give him back my balls back, take him out of the jar. I know you have fire, Rugged Man. I need him back. Or else I can't fight anybody else, you know. Got to have my nuts back, man, out of that jar.
Well, we tried our best, man, but the man says he's gonna, you know, just like how they have those Jesus heads froze up around their necks, he's going to do the same thing. He's going to dip it in silver, put it around his neck, and because, you know, he took the interview away from you, brother.
Man, that's what's up, man. I really need it back, you know.
Well, I don't know what to do, man. I don't know what to do, you know what I'm saying? I know we're going to have a lot of these Floyd fans, man, coming out as crazy, but hey, we're used to it already.
I'm going to have all kind of mail. I'm going to ignore half of it as usually. I'm just going to ignore half of it, you know.
Oh, man, you know, it's messed up. We got Alan Green going to be calling in a short minute, about another 10, 15 minutes. Talk to us a little bit. Is he going to be taking the replacement for Jermaine Taylor? Jermaine Taylor's got to step out. I mean, this guy, his health is on the line. This is a young brother, too, that needs to step away from the game. And if he doesn't know how to do it, then his family needs to step in. And if his family don't know how to do it, then his promoter, and I think that's what's coming down to, his promoter's the ones that are stepping in and taking some care about this kid because, really, honestly, there's no need for him to go out punch drunk. That's what's going to happen to him, man. He's gonna walk away this sport, just damaged goods.
All beat up.
All
I don't want to even see him fight Kessler. I don't even want to see him fight Kessler at this time. And by the time they're done with him, there ain't going to be nothing left. So maybe he can't sit down for a little while and clear his head and fight some C-level fighters and then get one more shot. You know, but if he goes through with his tournament, that won't even be something he could do. That won't be an option.
It sucks because I'm a real big JT fan.
You know, this Saturday you got Glenn Johnson versus Chad Dawson, and then you got Angulo versus Harry. What's his last name? Yogi?
Harry Joe Yogi.
Yo Yogi.
Joe Yogi. From my backyard.
From his backyard. You heard it, man. Well, he's got a track himself. We're going to play his track that some rappers did. Man, go figure. He's got a rap song about him. And, you know, he's got his followers that are rooting for him. They think that he's going to tame the perro. He's going to put the dog down, make him go belly up. So we'll be right back. And when we come back, we'll have Alan Green on the line. We'll leave it in the ring.
Damn. You hear that? Yeah, lightning's about to strike.
Second or two, you run the streets on your record is through. I'm wrecking your crew. Your entourage can't believe I'm better than you. The lightning rods strike wherever you're through. Head of cup where you stand. I'm repping more than just a couple of fans. The champion overworking your cut, man. Blow for blow, toe to toe. Who wants to go with the main man? Hitting them hard like Harry Joe. Got the crowd like, man, he shouldn't have started. For the title, he'll be dearly departed. For whatever it's worth, I put you down in the dirt. What you expect? I'm the best pound for pound on earth. They can't see the jab, speed bag keeps punching. Hooking off, uppercutting kids, catching lunging. I battle to the blood and my heart stops pumping. And beat them down like they're nothing. Bring it on.
Harry Joe, Harry Joe, Harry Joe.
Alright, you know what you gotta do, right? You gotta beat this man. You gotta hurt this man. You gotta dig deep down inside and make him feel your speed, your strength, your hunger, your pain. He's trying to take away everything you got, and that can't happen. Now finish this bum and let's go home. Look at me. Who can stop you? Nobody.
So Joe Woody, assault and battle dudes at this point. Got BB, got Bridgeport on his back. It don't matter who hits the ring. He can take what you bring. Yeah, the man is shatterproof.
Yeah.
Hungry attitude, fighting for a righteous kid. Try to take their food, eat off their plate. I guarantee he'll make you meet your fate. Body jacking like Hagler, break your ribs and beat your face. Energy at a high pace, shot in precision. Damage you with stamina, world class condition. Giving fans a fight worth the price of the mission. Stand the warrior at the top of the division. Competition for title bouts came and went. I can't count the crowds, hit my name, that's it. You can't announce all the time that we train and spent. So we can knock your ass out at the main event. Come on!
Harry Joe, Harry Joe, Harry Joe.
Yo, man, on the real though, this song is probably as bad as Max Killerman's rap song.
Harry Joe! Harry Joe!
Come on, man.
Yeah.
We're back. Leave it in the ring. Sponsors, www.havocworldwide.com. You know, you got to get your gear, your boxing gear. You got to go down on the internet. They supply some of the best boxing gears out there, best shirts. They're now finally are officially our sponsors of Leave It in the Ring. The WillBeBloodFightShow.com and Stand and Fight. You know, we're always putting in the work and trying to get everything out there as fast as we can. You know, I don't know if you guys forgot, man, but Zab Judah and Casa Mayor are fighting tonight. No, actually, I think it's already happening on a pay-per-view buy. But I guess nobody's watching it at this moment.
Whoa, is that Judah and who? Casa Mayor.
Tomorrow night you got David Haye against Bigfoot. Interesting fight. Interesting fight. I thought originally, honestly, before David Haye, and you know what, honestly, this is what I'm thinking. David Haye kind of hurt his credibility, you know, when calling out Vladimir Klitschko, not taking that fight, because I had said before, realistically, he should have went after the big guy, the big Russian dude, you know, Valua, whatever his name is, you know, he should have went after him to make it a big build-up fight, because if he knocks out this big man, or he makes this big man look bad, it will make a more interesting fight for him to go against Vladimir Klitschko. Now that he didn't take Wade, and he kind of just maneuvered himself out of that fight, he made himself look like he had some feathers, you know, so he may not be able to fly back to the nest of Wade to get that opportunity again. He might have to go through another tough road, which would be like Kristenheimer Oriola.
I mean, I think that if he was to beat this huge man whose name is hard to pronounce for all of us, that he would probably be able to make a Klitschko fight happen. I just worry for him that he won't be able to put him down and that he won't get a decision either. So, I mean, I think the only way that you could be safe in thinking that he's going to pull this thing off is if you think he's going to knock him out. I'm not really convinced that he can do that. I don't know if any of you guys think he's going to knock him out.
Hey, man, it's the Haymaker. Going to go in there and knock all these bombs out. These man's don't got no skills. He's big, he's hairy, he's very ugly. He's the ugliest person I've ever seen in person. He's hideous. I'm going to knock him out. He's a bomb, and then I'm going to go for the Klitschko sisters.
Harry
is he gonna shave that hair off his back, Riddler?
I have no idea. That shit's just nasty though. I don't wanna clinch that motherfucker. Fuck that. Fuck if I'm hurt. I ain't clinching.
Oh man, you know. Oh, that's great.
Yo,
that's
Ruff,
great.
Man. Yo, Ruff, I gotta you know, kinda disagree with you on that what Haye did, man. I mean, I was talking about it previously on a video and stuff, saying that if Haye might not have made all that noise with them Klitschko fights, even though he ducked out, he probably wouldn't have got the shot of Valuev, you know. He got his name out there. People are hating him, you know, and that's how I think he got this shot, because I don't see how he would have got this shot otherwise. It ain't like he earned it.
Well, I mean, he had the shot already, though, with Klitschko. I mean, now he ruined his chance, though, Griff, I think, you know. I mean, he fights this big giant and knocks him out. Okay, but he's going to be put, right now, in my opinion, he's putting the back burner from the Klitschko brothers, you know. You got right now, Vitaly.
Like this, man. The other thing I forgot to mention on this, if he would fight either of the
two. He's got to knock out Bigfoot, dude, so spectacular that it makes it just that it pushes it. In my opinion.
All right. You're right. But check it. Here's the biggest point. If I'm a David Haye fan, or if I'm David Haye, me and you and everyone on here knows he wasn't going to beat the Klitschkos. If he beats Valuev, at least he can say he won a piece of the heavyweight title. Whether he beats the real champion or not, it's no different than when Roy Jones beat John Ruiz. He could say at the end of the day, I was one of the heavyweight champions. And it's the only way Haye was going to win a piece of the heavyweight title, because he wasn't going to be one of the Klitschkos. So if he beats Valuev, the only one of those three champions he probably is going to beat, at least he can be one of the three heavyweight champions. So it makes sense. It makes dollars and it makes sense for him.
Where does he go from there, though?
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to go ahead, Strikar, throw your MP. I'm going to get Alan Green on the line. Go ahead and throw your opinion, Blood or Rob Rims. You got an opinion about this? I say really honestly, yeah, okay, he takes one of the bouts. Big deal. Where does he go from there? He's not going to get one of the Klitschkos at the moment. I think the Klitschkos right now are really turned off because he made a gentleman agreement and he didn't keep it. You know what I'm saying? But go ahead and throw your opinion, Strikar. I'll be right back.
He goes straight to McDonald's.
I'll just repeat what I said a little bit and see if anybody bites at it this time. You guys think that he can knock him out? Because I question whether or not he'll just be hitting a tree trunk all night and it ain't going nowhere, and then he won't get a decision either. Anybody have a different take on it than that? blood?
I think he gets the decision. I think he gets the decision in this one. That's how
it depends. I think it depends what punch he lands. If I don't think the left hook will do any damage. I just think if he can sit down, land that overhand right at the right time, catch him when Valuyev is throwing that jab out. I think he'll probably put him down.
He should put some glue on his. He needs to put some glue on his gloves, and then every time he hits him, a patch of that hair comes out. That shit might hurt.
Yeah, but then if he gets stuck to him, then that's really not a good idea.
I like talking about this shit because when Riddler said that shit about him shaving his hair off his back, I thought that shit was funny, brother.
All right, guys, I got Alan. I got Alan Green on the line. Alan, you there, brother?
Yeah, I'm here, man. What's up?
So, I mean, there's a rumor is you may be the replacement of Jermaine Taylor, bro. Is there any truth to that or not?
Yeah, you know, I've been hearing a lot of things here and there, you know, from a lot of different sources. Actually, I'm actually meeting with Showtime myself on Monday, so, you know, we'll go from there and see what's happening. Hopefully so.
I know you were pretty vocal about it. You were pissed off that you weren't even involved in the first time. You know, you were even saying, why is Jermaine Taylor being in this tournament? It should have been you. You should have been the first pick. Am I right?
Yeah, you're right about that. You're right about that. But then, you know, like I say, I mean, I felt disrespected. You know what I'm saying? I felt disrespected. I mean, it would have been interesting to see how the tournament would have unfolded, but I just felt disrespected that I wasn't included in there because it's almost like, I mean, I won my fight. How does this guy get in the tournament? He comes off a knockout. I didn't understand that. So, you know, I mean, hopefully I get the last word. You know, hopefully, I get to get in there and do my thing.
Now, let me ask you this. Let's say, okay, you have your meeting. Big deal. It's just a meeting, right? That's it.
Right.
It's just a word of exchanges of seeing there's a possibility of you being put into this tournament. But in all reality, it should not be a suggestion, it should be a fact that you should be in this tournament already.
I feel the same way. I shouldn't have to go through all of this. I feel the same way. It should just be automatic. I mean, because everybody's been saying it on the net, on TV, that if anything happens, Alan Green is the guy who will be the backup guy. He's going in there, you know what I'm saying? So a lot of things I don't understand and I don't get. I mean, it should have been automatic. So I agree with you on that.
Let me ask you this, though. Let's say you're accepted. They put you in the tournament. Do you... I'm not understanding how they're going to work that out. I mean, are you going to get the loss that Jermaine Taylor, you know, that point, so how they're doing that whole point thing, is that going to be put on your record, you know what I mean, to move into the tournament to make
does.
It fair?
It probably will, but you know what, it doesn't even matter, because if I get in there, I get 6 points right off the bat, or whoever our first two fights going to sleep, so it really would make a difference. But, yeah, I mean, it probably would kind of, you know, put me in a little position like that maybe, but, I mean, as long as I come out unblemished, which I will, you know, that's all I'd be worried about.
Well, let me ask you this, man. You know, when you're sitting there and you're watching this, you saw the first two fights for this start off of this first period of the tourney, okay? When you're
right.
Sitting there and you're watching these four guys, the combatants get in there, mixing it up, out of the three guys, because let's exclude out Jermaine Taylor. You got Durrell, you got Frost, and you got Abraham. Out of those three guys, in your heart of heart, and you're watching this, right, on Showtime, and you're sitting there and you're hanging out the boys and everybody else, the family, out of all of them, I know you had to lean over and said, if I was in there, I'd have put that boy to sleep.
Oh, yeah. I said the same. I said it about Abraham and Frost. If I was in there with either one of them, I'd have put them to sleep. Darrell, you know, he was running a lot. He was trying to protect himself, so he was running. He wouldn't really let him fight. But I would have put Frosch or Abraham to sleep. Abraham comes right at you. He really doesn't have a lot of defense. Neither does Carl Frosch. I respect his determination, and he's strong. But if you fight against Alan Green and you're easy to hit, that doesn't add up. Because, I mean, it's automatic knockout. If you fight me and you're easy to hit, fight's over, period. And Carl Frosch and Arthur Abraham are both easy to hit.
If you get accepted in this tournament, you feel that you have to crank it up a little bit more than normal to make a statement of this is why I should have been in this tournament in the beginning.
Of course. I'll have something to do that for. I'll have incentive. You know what I'm saying? I'll be fighting against better fighters. More be at stake. It'll be a big tournament. I mean, the whole boxing world and the world will be paying attention to it. So of course I'll turn it up. I mean, it won't just be another fight. You know what I'm saying? It'll be something that I've been wanting, something I've been waiting for. So, of course, I'll turn it up.
You got no concerns, man, about Arthur Abraham? I mean, what he did to Jermaine Taylor was nasty. I mean, you didn't sit there and go like, oh, wow. I mean, this guy's got some power.
Jermaine Taylor. Carl Frazier did the same thing. I mean, so no. Kelly Pavlik did the same thing. So no, I didn't feel anything. It was what I expected. And before that, Jermaine actually won the first four rounds, you know, but and see, the thing is, they got three European fighters in this tournament who are all pretty much punchers and three American fighters who aren't. So I expected that. If any guy, any one of the Americans gets behind on points in any of the fights, they're going to lose because they can't punch.
So what I'm hearing right now, you're not even respecting Frotton and Abraham's skills right now.
Skills? No. I'm not respecting determination. I think they're strong, but as far as skills go, no. They're not well-schooled. Their boxing IQ is not that high, so I can't disrespect their skills like that. I mean, the two guys right now probably have the most skills in it is probably Ward and Kessler. Not saying Ward would beat Frotch or Abraham. I'm not saying he wouldn't, and I think he loses to Kessler, but he has some skills. He's pretty well-schooled, but he's not strong. He doesn't have any power. But he's well-schooled and has some skills. Kessler has a few skills, but as far as Frotch and Abraham, they're both strong and determined, but just being skillful, no. I can't give him that.
You know, if you take the replacement of Jermaine, you obviously would have to take on Ward because that's what was on the awards next fight if he gets past.
Exactly,
Martin,
exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So what's your thoughts on Andre Ward, this American kid?
He's okay. He's all right. He's all right. Can't really punch. I mean, he knows how to finagle his way to decision. He knows how to survive in there. He knows how to box. He's never fought a big, fast, athletic guy. So I mean, it remains to be seen out here deal with Kessler. I mean, he knows, like I said, he knows how to finagle his way around the ring. Knows how to grab. He knows how to score points, grab and hold, and you know do little things he does. But fighting a bigger, stronger guy. I mean, it remains to be seen how he does. I respect his skills, but like I said, he's not very strong. So I mean. I don't give him a chance against me.
Out of all those five guys right now, you know, Andre, I know what your thoughts about Abraham, Frost, Jermaine. You know, you said Durrell runs a little bit. You know, and out of all of them, who's the one that you really honestly respect? I mean, because in their own rights, man, they all belong in the tournament, at least those guys. But
right.
Who's the one the most out of all of that? Maybe you're thinking, okay, he could maybe give me some problems.
Maybe Kessler. Maybe Kessler. Kessler's strong, has decent hand speed and can punch, and he's been there with, you know, Joe Calzaghe. So maybe Kessler. I mean, don't get me wrong. I respect Frost and Abraham. I just, as far as the skills, no. I think they're strong, determined fighters, but as far as being skillful fighters and being like cuties in the ring and having good defense and know how to slip and catch and roll. No. I mean, Frotch is awkwardly clever in his own way. He's, you know what I'm saying? He knows how to get the job done. He's awkwardly clever in his own way. But I just wouldn't, I mean, as far as being all skillful, no. Because, I mean, I thought he was winning the fight against Taylor, which a lot of people didn't, but Jermaine made him look like a fool a lot of times in the fight. So, you know.
You know, there was some talk about Chad Dawson, maybe if he gets past Glenn Johnson, because Chad said he can make 168, he maybe would be the replacement as well. Would that piss you off if that happened?
Of course it would piss me off, because to me, like I've always said, it's in the super middleweight division, for whatever, I mean, technical, the only fight I lost, I was ill, and I fought at middleweight. I never lost a fight at super middleweight. It's always seemed like whenever it comes to Allen Green, which I've been ranking the top 10 for years now, it's always something. It's always a way to keep me out of the loop. It's always a way to keep me out of something. You know what I'm saying? If that happened, it would just be evident of that going on. You know what I mean? I shouldn't have left out in the first place. I mean, Jermaine had lost his, what, two or three of his last four fights, something like that?
Yeah,
three of his last four fights, and he got in the tournament. So, hey, you know, I don't know.
I'm gonna pass it to the rest of the co-hosts on the panel of Leaving in the Ring. We got Alan Green with us, brothers. Chris 916 out of Sacramento. Go ahead and ask your question.
Yo, what's up, Alan, man? I'm good, man. I hear what you're saying about, you know, wanting to be in there and feeling disrespected. Did you feel disrespected that Andre Durrell got a slot above yourself?
Man, you know what? A lot of people say Andre Durrell's my boy. And I really can't say I felt disrespected, even though regardless of it being premature for him, But I just felt disrespected for the simple fact that before Jermaine fought Carl Frotch, me and him were supposed to fight. But instead, he fought Carl Frotch. Well, we fought him the same night. He got knocked out, and I won my fight. And I really felt disrespected that he almost, it's like he got rewarded, and I got put on the back burner. I felt disrespected in that aspect. Not so much as Darrell. Even if the truth is the truth, even if Darrell probably didn't belong in there, that didn't disrespect me as much, being that me and Jermaine had the same promoter, and it just felt so close to home. You know what I'm saying? We had the same promoter, and he got on there, and I didn't.
All right. Now, you're going to definitely have people out there that, you know, maybe skeptics or critics, I don't know what you, whatever you want to call them. You can call them haters if you want. But they're going to say, what have you done to earn your slot in this tournament? You know, the Tarvis Sims fight wasn't probably your best performance.
Okay, and you know what? It's the reason why Tarvin Sims is 25-0 and ranked in the top 10 in middleweight, and nobody will fight him. I had to fight a short southpaw on short notice that has a lot of skills. You know what I'm saying? So, and they're saying, what have I done? I've been trying to do, but nobody wants to fight me. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And what has Darrell done? What would be to watch that Miranda? What has Taylor done? Taylor got knocked out in the tournament. So before they can even question me, they would have to go back and question all those guys. You can't go by Jermaine fighting Hopkins and yada yada yada. It all goes back to what have you done for me lately? You can't. I mean, you know, you can't even go there about that. I mean, Jermaine lost and got in the tournament. I've been trying to get a fight with everybody at super middleweight, but I can't. You know what I mean? If I had the opportunity, yeah, of course I would do something, but I don't get the opportunities because no one wants to fight me. I've never not taken a fight with anybody, despite what the internet says. I've never not taken a fight with anybody. I've always wanted to try to get a fight. If the fight makes sense, I'll do it.
Right. Now, by chance, I mean, it pretty much seems like a foregone conclusion that Jermaine's going to bow out. I mean, it would be in his best interest. But if for some odd reason you can't get in here, what's next for you? I mean, you trying to go after the Boutte Andrade winner, or, you know, what do you got up for the backup plan if for some reason you don't get this?
Man, you know, there's, you know, Beaker's around, Boutte's around, Andrade's around. But if some reason I don't get the slot, man, I don't know. It's just like I said, there's a lot of BS going on in boxing if I don't get on there, because there's no reason that I shouldn't get on there. You know what I mean? But if I don't, I'll probably go after Beaker, Boutte, or somebody like that. If one of those guys will fight me, Beaker will probably fight me. But Boutte, I don't know. Like I said, a lot of guys, whenever it comes to my name, it's either they forget about me or they just step around me. Like, let's not even bring him up all the time.
All right, best case scenario for you, we're going to say you get in that tournament, you're a confident guy, you're going to assume that you're going to be in the finals. Who do you see on the other end of that ring when it comes to the finals across the ring from you if you get in there?
I have no idea. I have no idea, because you can look at a fight like, you can say, well, what happens when Kessler fights Abraham, or Frosch fight Abraham, or Frosch fight Kessler? You know what I'm saying? It's hard to say. Is there, or when, if Ward fights Abraham, it's hard to say. I don't know. I mean, I really don't know.
All right, my last question before passing on to my partners is, Edison Miranda's up at 168. I know he got, you know, shut down by Andre Ward, but he's back on the winning track. Is that a rematch you ever want to get, just because, like you said, you weren't 100% in your first fight?
Yeah, and we fought in middleweight. Edison's a friend of mine. We talked about it. He told me he wouldn't fight me unless it's for 7 figures. But of course. But I told him, I said, hey, man, if we don't fight, we at least got to spar or something. I got to get my get back, you know. But hopefully, yeah, of course it is. As a fighter, of course I want to fight him again. Of course. Would it make any sense for me to do that right now? Hell no. But if it did, of course I want to fight him again.
All right, cool. All right, man, I'm going to pass it on to my partner, Blood. Blood, you on?
Yeah, I'm on, man. Hey, I just want to talk a little
up?
Bit.
I like him. His name is Blood. What's up?
Yeah, what's up, man? Hey, man, I want to ask you about the politics, a little bit about the politics. I heard you go into it a little bit. But what does the 168-pound tournament mean to boxing in a whole, man?
Honestly, you really can't say. It means a little bit. It means a little bit. It doesn't mean as – I don't think it means as much as people are there trying to portray, because you have a few key factors left out, myself, Lucian Boutte, Saki Obika, and you have Lebrado Andrade. So you really can't say – you really can't deem the guy who wins this tournament or ends up with the most points the best super middleweight in the world. Because let's say I'm not in it, so Butte's not in it. Bika's not in it, who a lot of guys tend to avoid, and Andrade's not in it. So – and neither is the BO champion. So if whoever wins that tournament still has to fight these other guys to prove that they're the best. You know what I mean?
Right.
So if that's
right.
the case, all of us should have been in it, but we're not. So, I mean, you really, that, saying, okay, whoever wins, there's no credence to the comment that saying whoever wins this tournament is the best in the super middleweight division. The reason being is so many other guys, it's like four other guys in there. You know what I'm saying?
But don't you think this is a lot better than these fights that people are just that throwing out there? Like, you know, I mean, to have some kind of a tournament established in one division.
I mean, no. Of course. I mean, you're saying what it does for boxing? Maybe not much, but it is good for boxing. It's good for boxing. It's very good for boxing because it gives people a chance to say, okay, and a lot of the young boys, a lot of people have been watching, like Ward and Darrell, it puts them on the spotlight and say, okay, now we got to see what these guys are made of. Now we got to see what these other veteran guys pair against other young fighters or other veterans themselves, as opposed to fighting all these predetermined matchups that we've been getting on a lot of these networks. You know what I'm saying? That kind of alleviates that problem, even if the Abraham Taylor fight was predetermined. But anyway, that kind of kills that whole thing about these predetermined fights. So, yeah, I mean, it's good for boxing.
I was excited
about it. You know, even when they left me out, I was still a little excited about it because I wanted to see it.
Right.
You know?
But I thought from the beginning you should have been in it. And a lot of people have criticized you, man, for they say that at certain times when you get in the ring, you tend to look down a lot. What's that all about? I know it's been a minute, but what was going on at that time, though?
Man, it was just lack of fire, lack of passion, tired of the same old bullshit, fighting on the same kind of fight. I don't like to call any fight meaningless, but when you just constantly do the same thing, it's like, oh, man. And then finally I got to fight with De Leon, which it kind of charged my competitive juices. I mean, you need a big fight. You need a real big, good fight to get you in there. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I really wasn't focusing in the zone. I really wasn't liking boxing very much, you know, honestly.
Was a lot of it had to do with them just not giving you the break that you deserve? Did they have a lot to do with it?
Yeah, and even me, if I'm in the top 10, I shouldn't be a guy that needs a break. I should be a guy that just be getting his due. You give a break to a long shot. You know what I'm saying? I should be the guy who's just getting his due because I'm ranked up there I was ranked 6th in the world, so I should just be getting my due, period. I shouldn't have to wait on a break and say, let's give Allen Green a break like I'm some long shot opponent type guy. Nah, I'm one of the best in the division.
I agree with you.
I shouldn't have to go through that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but, you know, it just seems like in boxing nowadays that a lot of fighters shouldn't have to go through a lot of...
Yeah, you're right. I agree with you, brother. Yeah, I agree. It's not like it was back in the days, man. You know what I'm saying? A lot of these guys who are really undeserving for a lot of things are becoming champions and getting to pick and choose the type of opponents they want and are not being well-schooled on their way up to being champions. That's why you see a lot of these. You see a lot of these fake ass champions. You see a lot of guys with belts are not champions. A lot of them.
I agree with you, man. How much does the belts mean now, man? Do they mean anything anymore?
Back in the day, it meant something, but now it doesn't. You got guys giving their belts up for bigger paydays. That just pretty much goes to show you how much it means now. Back in the days, it meant a lot. When you were a kid and you seen Sugar Ray Leonard or Tyson or somebody with his belt, you say, "Damn, I can't wait to get that belt." Now it's just like, What the hell? Oh, you know what I'm saying? It's not the prestige is not there.
Well, I believe you're going to be in this tournament because I don't think Jermaine Taylor. I think it's going to be wrong if they continue Jermaine Taylor tournament. But just say you go through this tournament, you do get in the tournament. You said the points don't really matter to you because you'll have a chance to show and prove. If you do get through. First of all, do you like the point system, or do you think it should have been an elimination with more people involved?
It should have just been elimination with more people involved. Let's say a guy goes undefeated in the tournament but still loses because of the points.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
What about one last question? Go ahead, brother. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
First of all, I want to say I hope Jermaine Taylor is okay, and I hope he's all right, and I hope he's healthy, whether he continues on the tournament. But go ahead.
Oh, yeah, man. No doubt, man. No doubt. One last question, man, before I pass it on. But, man, will we ever see Allen Green as a light heavyweight?
Of course.
Being fat?
Of course.
I heard that, man. Would you like to fight a Chad Dawson down the line?
Of course. Man, yeah, we were supposed to meet at Super Middleweight early in our career a few times, but of course I would. I would love it. Remember, I was trying to get him before when he said he was coming down. You know what I'm saying?
Who you taking tomorrow?
But I respect Chad. He's a good fighter. Glenn's a good friend of mine. The Glenn I know would beat Chad, but Glenn is a little long in the tooth. He's a little older, and Chad's younger and you know has more energy and everything. So I don't know. You know what I'm saying? The Glenn I know could beat Chad, but I don't know if that Glenn's going to show up. So I don't know.
I got you, brother. Well, I'm going to pass him on to Strikeheart, man.
All right. I have a question for you sort of on the conspiracy end of things, man. So Showtime had your fight with Darvish Sims like 2 weeks before the tournament started. Okay.
Of course.
And then throughout the fight, you had Steve Farhood and what's his name? Oh, I can't remember the other guy's name off the top of my head. Tarver and then the other guy. And throughout the fight, they were pretty much saying how your performance just proved that you shouldn't be in the tournament the whole time, throughout the whole fight.
Okay, well,
and
the thing about it is you put me in there with a southpaw on a few days' notice. I mean, you could have got anybody. I didn't get to fight Shelby Puttwell like Andre Ward did. I had to fight an undefeated southpaw to save their show. Had I got to fight Shelby Puttwell, I would have knocked him out in the first round. But I had to fight a slick, cute southpaw.
Right.
You know, and I was supposed to be fighting a white Russian and end up fighting a black southpaw. You know what I'm saying? So that's what happened. So I would like to see any of those guys in the whatever Super Six tournament try to fight Tarvatin, fight a southpaw on short notice like that. You know what I'm saying? You're not gonna look spectacular. And I said it before the fight, it wouldn't look spectacular. I was fighting with a torn right shoulder. I said it would. I told him in the fighter meeting. I said this is going to be an ugly fight. It's not going to be a spectacular fight. I didn't understand why I was fighting an undefeated southpaw. But like you said, with the conspiracy of things, it does seem like I was set up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it almost seems like they just brought you up there so they could say, "Look, see, this is why we didn't have him in the tournament." And
because I was told it was him or that was it. We was trying to get everybody else. I was told it was him or that was it.
So I had to
do that to save the show, basically. I was the guinea pig.
So now you can make them eat it, because, I mean, it does seem like you're their first pick to come in as a replacement. I mean, they've had you on Showtime how many times, so it's kind of like they're going to have to eat it now. But here's the question. You've already said you thought it should have included everybody and been more like a top 10 than a super 6. But with the tournament, the way that it, let's just say that it is a super 6. Do they have the 6 best guys? I mean, I know you're going to say yourself.
I'm ranked number 6 in the world. So how can they have the 6 best guys in the division?
But what about Lucien Boutte and Andrade, and you said Zaki Obika? Do those guys deserve to be in the tournament more than maybe an Abraham or some of the other guys? You tell me.
Okay, yes, more than Abraham, of course. And no disrespect to all the Abraham, but he was not a super middleweight. He was a middleweight. So, of course, they get those guys that deserve, especially Lucien Boutte. He's the champion. He deserves to be in the tournament more than him because, I mean, Arthur Abraham's a pretty good fighter, but he's a middleweight. He's coming up from middleweight. And they put him in there with Jermaine Taylor, a guy who had just got knocked out. So you could have took Boutte or myself, Boutte and Alan Green, and took out Abraham and Jermaine Taylor.
Now, I have heard that Boutte is a hard guy to make a deal with. Is that part of it? Did he just not want to be included in the tournament, or what? Do you know?
Maybe. But if he did, he probably didn't. You know, he's the champ. He really didn't need to be if he didn't want to. But I've heard things like that. But even then, I was told since he didn't come in, that left me out. I was the odd man out, which I don't know how you get knocked out and get brought into a tournament. Maybe I should get knocked out in the next fight.
Then they let me in. You're knocked out by a guy who also happens to be in the tournament as well. That's the icing on the cake.
And then they put you right back in the same tournament with this guy. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? You seem like I have a little bit more respect for Arthur Abraham, but then again, we saw Jermaine Taylor just kind of jab at him ineffectively throughout the fight.
Yeah.
What would you do differently to make your
Well, Jermaine, between me and you, like I've been telling everybody for years, Jermaine's boxing IQ is not that high. He does not know how to box. I'm going to take you through Jermaine's history. He won. He got two decisions against Bernard Hopkins. He didn't beat Bernard Hopkins. He got two decisions against Bernard Hopkins. Let's take his next fight. He didn't look good against Winky Wright. Why? Because he doesn't know how to box. He did not look good against Kasim Umar. Why? Because he doesn't know how to box. He really could have lost the fight on points to Corey Spinks. Why? Because he doesn't know how to box. He fought three junior middleweights, then fought a middleweight, and got knocked out. Proof is in the pudding. He fought three junior middleweights, then fought a middleweight and got knocked out. Then came back and fought probably the worst known super middleweight in the world, and Jeff Lacy, and won.
Right. Yeah. I agree with you there as well.
It's just the truth.
I've heard this now from many people. Maybe you could be the next one to say it. Is it just that Jermaine Taylor was such a likable guy for the networks that they just wanted him to be?
They built him. Exactly. They built him, and he never learned anything he was supposed to learn about being a fighter. That's why after he got his little belt, you've never seen him look good, ever. He never had a knockout after that, never. The last knockout he had when he fought Daniel Edwards.
Okay.
it's the truth. It's the truth.
Uh-huh.
I know my boxing.
Like
it's the truth.
So it sounds like you think.
And I'm not hating on Jermaine. I hope he's fine. I'm glad he gets to take care of his family. And he's made a lot of money in the boxing business. I'm happy for him. That's great. But he's just not that guy. I mean, he was made up. The networks made him. It's other fighters the networks are making up, too. It's a lot of them.
Uh-huh. So is there any other guy in the tournament, you already said Kessler, that you'd be a little bit worried about getting in the ring with so far as if you could win?
I don't worry about getting in the ring with anybody. I'm not even worried about Kessler. It's just that Kessler would probably give me more of a fight, being that he's strong and tall, he has some good speed, and he can fight physical. He can fight physical.
Uh-huh.
The problem with the three American guys, none of them are physical fighters. None of them are. So if the other guys start getting physical, and none of them are punchers, and the other guys start getting physical on them, it becomes a problem. They can't deal with that. That's what kind of happened to Durrell.
Right. Now, should you not get picked to be the replacement in the tournament, which doesn't seem likely, how long are you going to wait around at super middleweight before, like you said, you want to go up to light heavyweight someday anyway. How long are you going to wait?
It just depends. I would probably wait. I would see what happens with Butte Andrade, and hopefully one of them will fight me. If Andrade wins, that fight won't happen with me and him. If Butte wins, the fight may happen. But if Andrade wins, I know that fight won't happen with me and him.
Why is that?
Well, you know, his management probably won't be in a rush to let him fight me.
Okay. Fair enough. I really appreciate you coming by. I don't know if Dave, you have.
Let me ask him something else.
Go ahead, Blood.
Can you touch on a little bit what you said about the media making these fighters? Touch on that a little more. You said there's more fighters out there that the media is touching.
Oh yeah.
I mean, maybe building
up.
Oh yeah. Touch on. Give us a name. Come on. Give us a name.
Okay, man.
I agree with you.
I'll say this. There's a certain guy that I'm cool with. I think he's a good fighter. He's a welterweight. He got a belt against a guy who hadn't fought in 2 years. He won his title against a guy who hadn't fought in almost 2 years. A guy who wasn't even ranked in the top 10 of that belt. And he got to fight this guy on a network for that belt and won that belt. I'm not going to say any names, but it happens in boxing and it happened with him.
Berto?
Anyway, like I said, I'm not going to say any names, but it happens in boxes, and it happened with him. It happens a lot. We see it all the time. You know what I'm saying? Look what happened with my boy. Look what's going on with Centron. You know what I'm saying? That's messed up.
Uh-huh.
He beat Angulo, but Angulo's fighting for the belt.
But why do you think this is?
You know,
is it about your image? Is it about who? Do you think they pick certain people because
of
the image?
No. Who do you know talks well on HBO in the past few years? What fighters? None of them, really. None of them. Jermaine Taylor can't talk at all.
So what
He's
do you
malleable.
Think it's about then?
He's malleable. He's easily convinced. I don't know. It's just who you know. And there's a certain guy that most fighters need to know in boxing to get what they need to get. But I'm not going to say any names.
Do you think maybe they're just trying to push the older guys out of there, too?
A lot of these older guys are still around.
There's a black market. There's actually a black market in boxing then, pretty much. That's what you're saying.
Well, Well, if it wasn't, I would have been on fire for a title, right?
I feel you. I think there's a black market. I think it's that way in the music industry and a lot of other ventures too.
It's that way in everything, man. You know what I'm saying? You're not now. Promoters are not promoters. The networks are promoters now. So if you're like,
What you think about that, Russ?
You know, I mean, I gotta agree with them, you know, about that. You know, networks are taking over on what's happening. They're actually dictating who fights who now, because if it's not intriguing to them in the numbers, like, they don't even care anymore if the fight makes any history sense. I mean, I've said this before.
No, it's not about that anymore.
No, I've said this before.
You're
there
right.
is no pound for pound anymore. You know, it's a fighter fights a famous person. You know, to
That's
make
it.
Numbers on TV. And, you know, Grant, I got to ask you something, because, you know, as you know, fight fans are always unforgivable and they don't forget very easily, right?
Right.
And in the chat room, you got a lot of fight fans on there, and they're like, how is he going to say that they're mentioning the Miranda thing. And some of them are going nuts, because they're from, you know, some of them from the UK. They're like, how are you not going to respect Frotch and Abraham's power when a lot of people believe he punched harder than Miranda?
Okay, you have to be in there with him, right? I didn't say I didn't respect their power. I didn't say I didn't respect them. I said I respect them, but to me, I said they're not that skillful. I said they're strong and determined fighters, and they're not that skillful. And if they want to sit there and bring up this Miranda thing, if Miranda ever fought me at 168 pounds, I would destroy him. I fought him at his weight at middleweight. Why don't people understand that? I fought him at his weight at a smaller weight. I had to shrink down to fight this guy. If I fought him at my weight, I would destroy him. No questions asked.
Going into that, though, people tend to say, I hear this a lot from especially casual boxing fans, that 5 pounds don't make a difference and 2 pounds don't make a difference. Explain
fans,
how much of a difference that makes.
You said the key word, fans. Most fighters that fight at super middleweight walk around at about 190 pounds, 195.
That's
I don't,
right.
But most of them walk around about 195 pounds anyway. So if they kill themselves to get to 168 and have to lose 8 more pounds, man, once they get to 75, for a lot of them, that's their cutoff. And they kill themselves to make that last few. I walk around about 178 pounds, 179, so it's not that hard for me, but I don't have much fat to lose anyway. So for a guy who's never fought before to sit here and say, you don't know how it is getting in there boxing for 12 or 10 rounds, let alone one round, having lost weight, they don't understand it. And plus, all the strain you put your body through camp, you have to still have to eat a lot to maintain your energy level, to maintain your performance in training. That's what makes it hard to lose that extra weight. Because you still have to eat. If you're going to spar, you cannot eat for 3 days and go in there and spar. You get killed. You understand what I'm saying? So you still have to eat and drink a lot of fluids just to keep your energy level up, but still at the same time, try to lose weight.
Hey, look, brother, you done been through this. You done been through this with Miranda. So does catch weight, does somebody have an advantage in catch weight?
The smaller guy always has the advantage.
The smaller guy always has the advantage. Y'all heard it, people, from a boxer.
Always that. So if you never boxed before, don't bring it up and don't say anything about it, because you don't know what you're talking about.
I hear
you. You don't know what you're talking about. And any other fighter will tell you the same thing.
That's right.
So with that who do you got? Yeah, I was just about to go to the same place. Who do you got for Pacquiao Cotto then?
I don't know, man. It just depends on which Cotto shows up. If the Cotto of old shows up, we got problems. If the Cotto we've seen in recent past year or so show up, you know, pre-Margarito Cotto, we may have a problem. Post-Margarito Cotto, I'm not sure, because the difference in this fight is going to be speed, and that's with Pacquiao. But watching the 24/7, to me, Pacquiao doesn't seem as focused for this fight, and Cotto seems very focused for this fight. So I don't know. I really don't know. But, I mean, I can see Pacquiao catching him with something early with his speed, but if the fight goes, the longer the fight goes, I think the better it is for Cotto.
What do you think about Cotto's eye, though? Because I see that as a big problem. I think it's going to cut open pretty quick, if you ask me, again.
You said what?
His eye. Cotto? I think it's going to come open again real quick.
Yeah, against that kind of speed, I mean, it's a possibility. So, I mean, he has to be, like I said, he has to be real careful on his P's and Q's. The longer the fight goes, though, it's better for him. Even though he hits hard,
may hit harder than Pacquiao. I don't know. Pacquiao punches real fast, and I can see him catching Cotto real hard early, similar to what he did to Haddon. Not that Haddon's on Cotto's level, because he's not. But it could happen. The longer the fight goes for Cotto, the better the fight for Cotto. So I don't know.
All right, fair enough.
I mean, I would say on a 10, 5.5 is going to Pacquiao, 4.5 is going to Cotto. Right now, I don't know, because you know, only because Pacquiao has momentum and confidence going for himself right now. You know.
Absolutely.
Hey, one more thing, man. Just say Taylor, they go ahead and let him stay in this tournament. Don't you think that hurts boxing in some respect and shows?
Of course.
Some
but
carelessness.
Like, of course, but like my,
it shows a lot of
yeah,
carelessness.
Like my man said earlier, they don't care. Like my man said earlier, they don't care. They don't care.
Well, if
I mean,
they don't put Alan Green in the tournament, they got a problem. And
yeah,
I think that we should
exactly.
all speak up to Alan Green to get into this tournament, because Jermaine Taylor should not be in this tournament at this time. So everybody, we need to get that out there, that they need to take Jermaine Taylor out of this tournament and put Alan Green in this tournament, because he should have been in there from the get-go.
I appreciate that, man.
Alan, man, I appreciate you coming through on Leaving the Ring, brother. It was a pleasure. I hope we could do it
anytime.
Again.
Anytime,
you know,
brother, anytime.
And you know what? I want to keep updated with you, so I'll have my PR call you up after that meeting to find out what happened, man, so that we can right away post it up if they said yay, nay, or what, or
Fred,
just...
Fred, I like that. That's a good idea.
You know what I'm saying? Or if they're just going to jerk you around and you know, or whatnot, brother. So I appreciate you coming through, man. I know you had just got off the plane, you know, and I'm pretty sure you're tired. It's late over there, so, hey, bro, thank you very much for coming through for us on Leaving in the Ring.
No problem, man. No problem.
All right, bro. Be easy now.
Good luck.
All right. You, brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Hell yeah. What's
going on?
Was that his phone? Is Fade on or something?
Nah, Adam Alma. Yeah, he's off already. Hey, listen, I want to play this conference call that we had with Glenn Johnson, because there's some things in there with Glenn Johnson and Chad Dawson's conference. There was some stuff said in there, man, that, you know, I think it was really interesting. And the hardcore fight fans, I'm pretty sure they want to hear it, you know, because there's some stuff that, you know, that Chad was saying and Glenn was saying, and I'll let you hear for yourself. And you know what? It's introduction to Rob Riller doing his very first press conference for There Will Be Blood.
Let's hear it.
Rob Ray, we're Leaving in the Ring.
Yeah, thank you for the time. I just want to ask Chad a question. I was a while back that Gary Shaw said that Chad Dawson would one day become heavyweight champion. I just want to know, does that put pressure on Chad? Does Chad feel pressured by that? And both of you can answer if you'd like, whatever's more comfortable for you. But
I'm the one who said it. I still believe that one day Chad Dawson will be the heavyweight champion of the world. Look, Adamack, who he beat 11 of 12 rounds, just fought Andrew Glotta and finished Andrew Glotta off. So that tells me that's certainly an easy one for Chad Dawson. But right now he's campaigning at 175. I believe he'll win convincingly on November 7th. And then we'll see who's next for him. Maybe we need to go down to 168 to pick off some big fights there if Hopkins continues to run from Chad. And as Chad gets older and puts on the weight, he will absolutely be the heavyweight champion of the world in my eyes. He's probably the most talented fighter, natural talented fighter out there today fighting, or no one.
Hey, guys, I want to ask Chad and then Mike and Gary. You just mentioned going down to 168. Chad, how would you feel about trying to get into that Super 6 tournament should Jermaine Taylor back out? And Mike and Gary, how do you feel about that, too? All right, thank you for your time.
It's great. You know, I think it's a great idea. You know, I've always, you know, asked Gary a few times about the tournament. What do you think about me getting in the tournament? He, you know, looked at me and nodded all the time, you know, and winked his eyes. So, I mean, I think it's a great idea, and I mean, if Jermaine Taylor does happen to drop out, man, I would love to take a spot.
Obviously, he's fighting on HBO right now, and the Super 6 is a Showtime tournament. HBO has a first and last on Chad Dawson. I have spoken with them. I know that he would be welcomed into the 168-pound tournament. I believe he would win it convincingly, bar none. on it, even though I have Andre Durrell, who's just a young fighter. But we have to wait till this fight's over. When this fight is over, then we'll sit down with HBO. I have an appointment right that following week to sit down with them and to hear their offer for 2010. That's where that stands.
Oh, I feel good. I mean, once again, no problem, you know. I mean, I've never had any problem making 175. You know, sometimes, you know, I even weighed in at 172, 173. So, you know, making once a year is not that difficult for me.
But it's a robbery because it was in his hometown.
Right. My beef with Glenn is that when you lose on all the judges' cards by 3 and 4 rounds, I don't foresee that as a robbery. In your own home state, your hometown. So my beef is, instead of diminishing Chad Dawson by saying it's a robbery, just I fought a very good fighter on that night. I believe I won. I don't believe the judges saw it the way I saw it. I believe I won. I'd like another shot at Chad Dawson, which he's getting. And he's getting it because that's the fight that HBO was willing to pay for. And that's the truth to the story. This is the fight that HBO was willing to pay for, so we're fighting that fight. But don't diminish Chad Dawson by saying you were robbed. Paulie Malignaggi was robbed. I've seen other robberies in my career. This was not a robbery.
What do you guys think about that, man?
I think... Anybody fighting for Gary Shaw should take heed in that, because he threw Andre Durrell under the bus real quick right there. That's what I think. But, go ahead, Rob.
Wait, I went out for a second. I almost passed out for a second. I don't know what happened. I just was like, what?
Blood, man, you got to take about what he was saying there about, you know...
I was interested, man, and them talking about the heavyweight thing, man. I found that kind of interesting, you know. Him fighting as a heavyweight one day, maybe.
I mean, who's he kidding, man? Who's he kidding? Chad Dawson being a heavyweight, you see that happening?
Yeah, man. I think he has a good chance. I mean, with these fat overweight heavyweights, once the Klitschko's get out the picture, shit, anybody got a chance, man? Who's 175 to cruiserweight, I think these guys have a chance to move up and, you know, beat some of these fat guys, these big fat overweight guys up. Yeah, I give them a chance. I give them a shot.
As long as nobody looking at their shoes in the middle of a fight, then you know I'm all good.
Oh my god.
Oh man. No, I don't know. I don't buy that. The whole heavyweight did talking about him. Imagine Dawson versus Aaron Johnson. Just can't even imagine it. I mean,
he could grow into it. He could grow into it, man. You kidding me? He could grow into it.
He'll get him with a cruiserweight. There's some cruiserweights out there he can, you know, he can get in there with and prove it. But to take a jump lead like that for 175, to get in with guys that are literally walking around at over 220, that's a lot of weight, blood. You know what I'm saying? That's a lot of weight there.
He has a transition, dog. He has a transition into it slowly. But I think it's something he could do. I give him a chance. The heavyweight picture is a joke, man. It's a joke. And the Klitschko's are on their way out.
I don't know if it's a joke, though, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of guys up in that same area, not this huge giant man, that have decent skill. I mean... It's
a joke, man. It's a joke. Compared to what it was, to what the heavyweight division has always been, it's a joke. And compared to the other divisions, too, it's a joke. Y'all can't convince me no other way. That's how I'm going to see it, and that's just how I see it.
They ain't playing a lot of these other guys' fights, though. I mean, you only see them when Eddie Chambers fights Povetkin and this other guy, Dmitrikov. These guys aren't bad. And then there's Dennis Boystov. I think these guys are actually pretty good. I think the illusion that maybe we're seeing is that the Klitschko's are so much better. And honestly, they like Vladimir Klitschko, he won't even fight Alexander Povetkin. That's been his mandatory defense for forever. I mean, if we could all just get a peek at these guys on like HBO or Showtime, I don't think people would be saying that the heavyweight, that, like, they're talking about the heavyweight division in the United States. That's a totally different story than heavyweight division in Eastern Europe. It's pretty good over there.
I like to see Chad Dawson or anybody transition into heavyweight. I find any talk about anybody becoming a heavyweight is interesting to me. That's just how I see it.
You know what? I'll tell you what. If he was to jump up and go, and let's say heavyweight, the slow transition would be going to cruiserweight. You got Adam Eck, who he beat already, okay? But Adam has looked three times better as a cruiserweight, and then you got Steve Cunningham in that division too, which would be a tough test for him. And if he could convince me he can do some good in that cruiserweight division, then I would say, okay, he has a possibility. But right now, and especially saying he can make 168, I don't know, Blood. That tells me then
Yeah, he said on the call that he comes in at 168.
You saying that he, wait, well, hold on, Ruff. You saying he can't make 168? You saying he can't make 168?
He can make 168, and that makes me a little puzzled there. I mean, if you can make 168, then that means your body is a lot smaller than what it is. You know what I mean? I mean, it's not going to look normal there for a guy to go 205, 210 if he can still make 168. I don't know if I'm making sense, but in my head it's making sense.
No, yeah, it's making sense with me. He said also on the call that he comes in under the weight limit for his fight at light heavyweight.
Exactly.
He's coming in at 172. Usually a guy will come in like half a pound under or right on the button if that's the weight division that they're used to fighting in. So when you come in like 3 pounds under the weight limit, that almost says you shouldn't be in that weight class with the way these guys fight.
Exactly. And you know what? In all reality, too, I know some people are counting out Glenn the Road Warrior Johnson, but hey, you know what? This is a live dog right here. And this dog, even though he's old, he's still got some teeth. And you know, there's a strong possibility he can take this fight because he's just one of those kind of guys that people sleep on, and then he throws the water to wake you up.
I don't know. I have a feeling it's going to be like Juanma versus Mitagua. I don't know. I think Chad Dawson is going to start looking like Juanma, but I think he's probably going to get stopped.
I have a different take on that. I think that he's going to play it safer than he did the first time, especially, I think he will, man. That's what he likes to do. He likes to win.
Hopefully Johnson doesn't allow him to do that, cut the ring off, make it an ugly fight, make it his kind of fight, a Road Warrior fight, because, you know, Chad, yeah, he's got all the talent in that division right now, but you know, this whole fight for me, man, get out of there with that shit already, man. I'm tired of seeing fighters just fight for me. You're supposed to fight for the fans. We're the one that feeds you guys. You know what I'm saying? We're the one that makes you guys, get you guys those designer jeans you be wearing. We're the ones that get you driving a nice car, and that bitch you're riding with is the one. We're the ones that are helping you get her.
At this time now, he needs to go out there and he needs to try to knock out Glenn Johnson. He's a younger man, and he needs to do something that nobody else has been able to do, with the exception of Bernard Hopkins. Glenn Johnson ain't getting no younger, and you know, at this time, he needs to show and prove that he's all that these people are making him up to be. He needs a knockout. He needs to go out there. He needs to pressure him, and he needs to go for the knockout.
That's what I was expecting to see out of him in the second Tarver fight. And he was content to just win that fight. I don't even really think he wants to fight Glenn Johnson.
It was a joke. And that was a joke of a fight. I mean, come on. You had a guy that was not even halfway out the door. He was out the door. This guy was already, you know, Antonio Charter, mine was a movie star. And you didn't even follow the script. You know, Chad Dawson did not even follow the script. He should have knocked him out. You know, I think if he would have knocked him out, he would have got a lot more respect from parkour fight fans. Because right now, man, I'm just like,
right.
I'm feeling the way a lot of hardcore fight fans and stuff. Chad Dawson is got all the talent in the world, but he's playing it too safe. We got to see something, you know what I mean? I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one that's thinking that. But
I think he's talented. I think he's a very talented fighter. I think he could he could eventually move up and fight cruiserweight and maybe even heavyweight. I didn't say he could move up there tomorrow in the heavyweight division, but at the same time, he has to show and prove that he's what these people are saying he is. You know, they're saying, you know, they're building him up. You heard how they was talking on the, you know, he has to get some knockouts. He needs some knockouts, man, right now.
Right. But
he needs to knock these old guys out, man. These guys are a lot older than him. He needs to go in there and knock these guys out.
They put the fight in his backyard last time he fought Glenn Johnson. It was in Florida. I see it to be a really safe fight for him as long as he doesn't get in. And he knows what to look for as far as those big shots that he took in the second half of the fight. I just don't think he's going to put himself in those risky situations that we want to see him be in to prove that he is what people say he is. I think he's going to play it safe.
Strikeheart, there's two people in that ring, not just one. So the other guy's got to do something to make sure the other guy's not playing it too safe. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
right, but I mean,
I
love Dawson's the one with the leg.
He's got to be a robber, okay? And a robber doesn't go to the break into the safe.
Yeah, but living in the
set. What's up, Red? I know you're out there, Red, at the Lakers game. What are you saying?
Hello?
Yeah, how's the Lakers game going, bro?
Hey, I'm barely getting there, man. I'm stuck in traffic. I'm trying to get over here and get my courtside seat, God damn it.
Machine Gun Red over there. But you're ready to sport a boxing, sport a basketball, man. Come on, man. Trust you.
Hey, it's the closest I can get to something at the Staples Center, dog. You know what I mean?
Oh, man. I'm getting irritated. I need a damn beer.
Hey, if you watch the game on television, you're going to see me right behind Kobe with the big-ass beer, dog. That one's for you.
Oh, you got seats that good, man?
Yeah, man, I got hooked up. I'm going with my manager from work, and they hooked it up. I'll be chilling right there. I'm telling you, you're going to see me right behind Kobe. When he sits down, I'll stand up, and you'll see me a big-ass red-headed dude right there. I'll throw you guys all a little peace sign and whatnot. I'm going to hold up a banner that says, leave it in the ring.
Go.
I heard that.
Well, you know what? We're almost close to that time where we're going to end the show, brothers. It's always a pleasure to have Dallas's Chris. Dixon is not available to come on the show, but, you know, we always got to give shouts out to our boy. And we had my brother from another mother, Blood.
No doubt.
My adopted child out of Puerto Rico, Rob Riddler.
What?
And our PR, Red, the man that makes things happen, the man that gets the fighters on for us, the dude that we drag down to the dirt that makes sure that we get this, all this info and these interviews for the hardcore fight fans. Everybody that goes in the chat room is always love, man. You know, I always enjoy reading some of the stuff because some of the guys get a little Sporting Thief. You got Air Johnson, the boxing historian. He's got a website up, www.boxinghistorian.com. Am I right?
I think that's right.
Shout out to the boxing historian too, man. That's a homeboy over there from the UK.
UK is just bringing it hard. And listen, man, I've been bringing that website. I love that website. You know, and then you got Box Press, my boy from www.boxpress.com.
That's the man right there. Check his website out, please.
The man knows his boxing. This man knows his boxing. This guy's got a lot of knowledge. He puts a lot of videos, too. If you haven't seen a fighter, he's the guy to go to. He'll school you up real, real good, real, real quick. You know, let me see who else we got up on the forum over here, man. You know, Chicky, my girl, always coming through and always showing some mad, mad support. You know, she's a loyal, loyal. Manny's the man, the most brutal guy on the fly. He took Rob Riddler's place. You know, he tells it how it is. He says the truth. He don't hold back, Rob. He's taking his spot.
What? Please. There's only one.
Yeah.
I'm about to come up in here talking Spanish on y'all one day. Watch.
Oh, man. And we got a lot of people. A lot of people also in the chat room, guests. You guys got to put a name. That Dragon Style for a minute, you know, up in here in the mix with us. doing
Hey, man, much love to all the people on YouTube who uploads videos, man. I got to give all of them guys respect, man, for putting their face out there and taking the criticism and taking the bashes that we all take. All of us do it. And I just got to give y'all some respect, man, because I know what y'all are doing and what y'all go through, man. So anybody who upload videos, man, I want
to
give y'all love.
A lot of love to all the hardcore fight fans that keep the support alive, the guys that go out of the way and make the websites and, you know, even the other radio shows. You know, we've had our disputes with other radio shows and stuff, you know, but, you know, at the end of the day, we're all doing something positive to keep the support alive, you know, and we're doing what we do and what we love most. And even adding up what to Blood said right now, even if you don't even post and you're just a fight fan, hey, man, I respect you because this is a sport that needs every one of their fans to be together. You know, even if you're just a hugger of a certain fighter, don't trip because eventually you'll go out of that. Your fighter will disappear, and then you're going to have to move on and figure out, hey, I might need to become a fan of the game, not just a fan of a fighter.
I'm a fan of Kim Kardashian's butt. That's what I'm a fan of. Shit.
Hey, I'm going to be right next to Kardashian, brother. She's dating Odom, I think. She's going to be right there next to me. I'm going to take a picture and send
it to you. She's looking for all right now, doggy dog. She got beat up. She was in the ring, you know, for a training, just got socked up.
Damn.
Shout out to Sporty Thieves. That's King's Domain 13 on YouTube. I didn't know that was you, brother. Shout out to you, too.
Damn.
King's 13. That's right, yeah. And Sporty Thieves.
He supports us. He's always around supporting us on YouTube. So give a shout out to him, too.
Nah, that's your sister that's pregnant. Anna Johnson? Kimmy's not pregnant. I don't think she's pregnant. I think it's her other sister's pregnant. Man, what the hell's going on with this, man? I thought you know we need to get off the air right now. We're talking about. Reality show this shit.
I hope Kim ain't pregnant. I hope Kim ain't pregnant, shit.
Hey, even if she is, who cares, though?
That sex tape is garbage.
We'll park out here.
That sex tape is garbage, by the way.
It was. I'm out, brothers. Next week.
Hello.
Hello.